following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Rogaine, check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine, check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting ready for game number 16, final game of the regular season. Patriots have a chance to go 13-3, and of course, if they win the game, to secure the first seed in the playoffs, which means home games throughout. Let's hope they have more than one. Guaranteed one. They won't be playing wild card weekend, but they'll be waiting to see who they play for the divisional round after that, and either Saturday or Sunday. And we're excited. I think I don't think this will be a one and done year like they had the last 2 years. I think they, you know, if anything, they'll at least win that first game. But it's going to be interesting to see who they play. We'll go over the playoff scenarios. I know we got some emails asking about, you know, what happens if this team wins and that. So we'll try to unravel that in our last segment when we do our picks for this week, our final week of regular season picks. And then, of course, we'll do the playoffs as well, sort of the tiebreaker. The guys are just coming in right now from the locker room. Andy's here. Paul's here. And Derek from the University of Arizona is in town, and he was nice enough to buy us lunch today, and he's going to visit.
I don't see lunch
for the show. Well, lunch has been ordered.
I'm not thanking him for lunch until I'm chewing on lunch.
He's tough man. So, guys,
I'll tell you who's not tough.
Who?
Kyle Love, your boy.
Why? What happened?
Is walking around the locker room in one of those full zip, like construction suits, Dickie suits or whatever. I can't hear you.
Carhartt.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
And he's in the locker room wearing one of those. So clearly he doesn't like the newfound cold weather that's here.
Where's he from? Is he out of Texas?
Alabama or Alabama? Arkansas, one of those
down,
in that area.
Down there. So.
And well, then I said, the bad news for you is it's going to get significantly colder. And he goes, he just laughed.
Actually, the weather for this weekend, probably low 40s.
Yeah.
Chance of rain Sunday night. But probably not during the game.
But next week I heard Arctic blast of, like, just cold all the time.
Oh, is that
frigid.
Right? Well, they're not playing next week, so they don't have to worry about it.
That's
by design.
And then I talked to you quickly about it earlier, this theory, the professor wants a new calendar from John Hopkins or whatever.
Yeah,
and had a nice long conversation with Zoltan Mesko about that topic.
Oh, yeah?
He hadn't heard it, so I kind of explained it to him, and he was intrigued by the idea.
So, Freddie, did you do some research on this? Do you know anything
on
about
the calendar?
This? Yeah.
Well, I read the article.
How does it save money?
How do we save money on this? I know nothing about it. I didn't see it.
Well, it saves money in that you can plan ahead better, and you don't have to adjust things. And
so it's vague.
Now, why is that?
Why is,
like, what time?
How does it work?
Well, I want to know what time is wasted planning ahead.
Well, in
doesn't it literally take 5 minutes?
No, for us, in the financial industry, I guess, you know, if I read it correct, there's all kinds of machinations that have to be done every year in the trading of, like, derivatives
and
things
mortgages,
like that.
Something
and
about mortgage payments would be easier to figure out.
If you knew,
that at least makes some sense to me.
Yeah,
I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't completely understand, but –
Sounded like one of those Office Space things. Remember when the guy steals like a third of a penny from every transaction?
Right.
And thinks he's just going to get a little nest egg, and all of a sudden he's got like millions of dollars. He's like, oh my God, I just stole millions. Because there's all these little half pennies being rounded and lost. And
right.
All of a sudden it adds up to billions over the
globe.
But
if people don't know what we're talking about, check out Andy's tweet this morning. There's a link to a CNN article.
Yes.
It's pretty fascinating. The one thing is that every 5 or 6 years, you got an extra week.
But I think that
December is
gold.
No, but that would...
Now becomes a holiday.
Right, that would take some getting used to, though.
But don't you think that... I mean, you could bring back World's Fairs. You could make it this global
Mardi
Gras celebration of life. I think it'd be great.
You
the things that
coming
excite
out of your
Andy
mouth,
Hart.
Global celebration of life just doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah.
I have as much doesn't energy as anyone. Sometimes it's negative and it's pointed in a negative direction, but sometimes it's very positive. And with this idea,
everything.
A leap week, I'm very positive. I think it would be phenomenal. I think it could be a global celebration, truly.
Well, you know, the implementation.
We'd probably have
it
a
only
game.
Makes sense. It only makes sense, obviously, if it's worldwide. But if you could get people to do it, get countries to do it, it would
be
pretty cool.
Tremendous. And then, by the way, we had this conversation with some reporters in the locker room, and it devolved into Mike Rodak saying, well, if we just pushed the planet a little closer to the sun, we could fix the whole leap year thing or something. I'm like, what is this, Armageddon, where we're going to send a rocket into space?
Yeah, he started talking about how, you know, the calendar would be one thing. Well, it branched off into the time zone thing that a lot of people have talked about for years as well, you know, getting rid of the time zones. And it somehow branched off into a serious yet not serious
physics.
Talk about the spinning of the Earth's axis and the moon. Is the months, you know, is the...
So I started yelling for
like,
Mike
who brought
Reese.
The geek?
Mike Reese, come get your geek. He's run amok. Come get your geek.
Adam Jones, you know, our neighbor here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Isn't he the first one that tweeted
And he is
out?
Very excited about it.
Yeah.
So he has some problems wondering when, you know, like the Major League Baseball trading deadline would start. It might not start on August. It might not be on August 31st. But he has no problems with just eliminating time zones. So you could go to work at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. No problem adjusting to that.
But he is worried about saying
when will the trade deadline be?
I've never said February 30th. How would I say February 30th?
Yeah, that was another one.
I don't know. You just did. Right. See, like he's all worked up that there would suddenly be these days he's never thought of.
Right. One globe, one calendar.
And by the way, just for the record, did you know that on the ESPN Boston podcast that is taped here, you're not allowed to say pissed?
Is that right?
He got in trouble for saying pissed.
Well, it's Disney.
But look at some of the other things that Disney puts on TV, and they're upset about pissed.
Yeah, I don't know. Please.
Can't say sucks. He can't say any of those.
Really?
This
is
sports.
One of the top words on the list of like FCC no-nos for
Who, what
radio.
Is?
Piss. It's like right up there.
I hear Felger say it all the time.
It's right up there with some of the like dropping the F-bomb.
Whoa. So piss and the F-word are equal?
That's ridiculous.
I had a college radio show, and they kicked me off the air because I said I was pissed about something.
Well, that's
because
you stunk. That's why you got kicked off the air.
They were just using that as an excuse.
Man, that's called an easy out.
We can't hear you anyway. Are you going to turn his mic on, too? You're struggling back there. Is your mic
is
not on?
Is his mic on?
His red light is on. He's just pointing. Go ahead.
All right, web radio at
patriots.com. Where's the head monkey?
Web radio at patriots. He couldn't find his car keys. Oh, by the way.
He left them in his door and someone stole them, he said.
By the way, Kevin is not here because he had his car keys stolen?
Out of his door. I think he opened his door and then closed the door.
Well, that's not good.
Well, now he's going to change his locks.
Right.
And I would check to see if his car is still there.
Right.
But why would you steal someone's keys that were in a car if you weren't going to steal the car?
No, they were in his door.
Oh, his door to his house.
House. Yeah.
Oh.
And he's probably dumb enough he won't change the locks, so they'll wait till he goes to work and they'll just let themselves in and steal everything.
Well, it's easy for you to say, I can't afford to change the locks.
Well, he thinks he left them in there. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But he lost his car, his keys.
He's an idiot.
He doesn't have a second set of keys?
This ain't going to affect lunch, is it?
You know, I have a second set of car keys.
Lunch is on the way, Paul.
Yeah, everybody does.
Right.
They come with multiple keys.
Exactly. I think this is an excuse. I think that he's taking a day off.
I think so.
Well,
too. There's more to this story.
Yeah.
He should just wait till the new calendar and just take a week off.
Sure. All right. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Inside Gillette Stadium.
Yep. Also the home of the JetBlue pregame social.
Yes. Anybody else we need to get in?
I don't think so.
Little news, by
Anybody
the way.
Anybody in the Ace Ticket Hotline?
Oh, yeah, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Off the Twitter feed yesterday, I don't know if you noticed, but Rob Gronkowski said that Aaron Hernandez is the first alternate for the Pro Bowl. So there's a good chance, considering Antonio Gates' foot injury,
Gates won't go,
that Hernandez and Gronk will be at the Pro Bowl.
They're not going because the Patriots are going to be in the Super Bowl. So,
oh, that's right.
You know, I'm counting on
that. Ask him. The question.
Are you getting yourself worked up?
I am.
No, not that question.
What?
No. The question you asked me earlier.
Someone asked me a question yesterday, and I'm interested in your response.
When I was 14.
What would you be more surprised? what would be
That's
more surprising
funny.
To you?
Yeah.
Patriots win the Super Bowl or get knocked out in the first round? What would be more surprising?
Get knocked out in the first round.
Okay.
Do you believe that, or are you just saying that because
Derek
to uphold?
Derek was just here in my opening fill time monologue before you got here. I said that I would find it very, very hard to believe that this year.
It's 12:11 now, and we've been here for almost 10 minutes.
We couldn't have been more than a minute.
I don't understand why you can't be on time, but anyway.
Because the locker room doesn't end until 12. Do you want
to see? I've been in the locker room. You guys stand there in the middle of the locker room chatting.
I talked to a lot of players today.
It's like a cocktail party.
I talked to like 10 players
today.
They might as well have somebody come out with hors d'oeuvres.
And that's exactly what was going on today because we were talking about the calendar.
And I got a solid
right.
I got a solid maybe from Ocho Cinco on a getting to know for an upcoming issue of our paper.
Oh, by the way.
And he yelled at me for interrupting his lunch.
Speaking of interviews, in the next PFW TV, there will be a very special sit-down interview with myself and Jonathan Kraft,
president of the
Patriots.
Not tonight.
Not the next one. Next Thursday.
Week. Yeah, not tonight.
Okay. Well, I don't want to mislead
tonight.
Our listeners. They're going to be looking for that tonight.
Bi-week edition.
Yeah,
a very
not
special.
Tonight.
It will be Matt Light will be the subject of our
I'm going to sit
weekly
down
interview.
With Jonathan Kraft. I guess that will be in place of the regular interview you guys do.
Yeah, and maybe more
I
if
think
you do
it
a good
be,
job.
I think it should be in place of more. But
well, maybe we can extend that and shorten some other things.
Yes, you
but
should.
Yeah.
Like the morning meeting can be shortened, whatever.
Whatever.
Because
or get rid of Perillo's points or from
I
the
think
heart, one of those.
This could be gold.
We'll see.
Well, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders. Luckily, they're fat and can hold a lot.
If we start talking politics, it could really spiral downward.
Be entertaining as all hell?
Yeah.
Yes, it could be.
Anyway, so that'll be in next week's.
Where are you going to do it?
In his office.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's even better. Can we watch?
No.
Oh.
No, we don't want all commotion down there.
I want to heckle.
You're going to be nervous. That's
you
why
idiots.
You don't want us
I
to
want,
watch.
I want to heckle you.
Yeah, that's exactly
Jackass.
Why. Do you know when I do the segment for All Access? In my office, he stands behind the camera like I'm doing a free throw, waving his arm.
I do this, and then I call a last-second timeout.
Right. He tried to ice me.
He's a bad person. I don't really know why you haven't figured that
and
out.
And I still beat him every week.
And it worked, too, because he finished, and Matt Smith does it. He doesn't say, that sucked, do it again.
You had a hiccup.
You had a little hiccup. Let's try that again. He does it so, like...
He's one of... You know how so Bill's... I'm not into positive reinforcement. Well, Matt very much is. He tries to accentuate the... That was good, but
you can do better.
But what we might want to do is, you know, rather than saying we got to do that again,
right?
He does it all the time. It's very, very good for your ego.
I mean, look at the talent he has to work with: B-Lo, Lindsay. Spends a lot of time reshooting things.
So, back to your opening monologue. That
couldn't
have lasted more than a minute and 45
seconds.
No,
but I was very adamant about saying that there's no way this year. I didn't go beyond the first playoff game, but there's no way this year they're going to get knocked out in that first round.
No way.
No way.
No way.
No effing way.
Really?
Nope.
No pissing way.
Nope. So we are going to be in an AFC championship this year.
At Gillette Stadium.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know that yet.
Because you're not playing Brady.
We don't know that yet, but they are going to be in the AFC championship, so get ready for that.
Yeah, I think it's a good question, though. I think I would say I'd be more surprised if they won the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah.
Now, that could change.
Yeah.
But I just look at if Pittsburgh or Baltimore were to come here in the first game, the divisional round, and win, I don't think that would be an upset. I don't think that would be a stunning turn of events. I do think that if the Patriots were to beat Green Bay in the Super Bowl, that would be an upset.
It's very interesting. On NFL.com, yesterday, the day before, they had all their experts, and I think they had seven people all do their power rankings. And in every one of them, Patriots were either in third or fourth, and there was no one in the AFC ahead of them. It was all Green Bay, New Orleans, Patriots,
lack
Green
of respect.
Bay, New Orleans, San Francisco, Patriots. Not one person had the Patriots not the first team in the AFC.
And I would wholeheartedly agree with that right now. You have to have the Patriots one in the AFC, I think.
Over Pittsburgh?
Absolutely.
Why? Because of Roethlisberger's health?
Well, yeah, it's a major factor, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, Pittsburgh did handle the Patriots pretty well.
They did. They did. That was a while ago. But I think you can't just dismiss. I mean, Houston, you know, was playing the best football until Schaub got hurt.
Yeah.
But I can't put them there now. He's hurt.
Right.
And until Roethlisberger shows me that he can play at the level he played when they beat the Patriots, yeah. I have to put the Patriots one there.
Yeah.
We have some interesting breaking news off of Twitter.
Okay.
According to Adam Schefter, Pat's quarterback Tom Brady will not practice today due to his left shoulder injury.
Right.
After missing practice yesterday, not injury related.
Well, and both could be true, because we heard that he was having an interview with
No. The interview happened during open locker room. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I will give you your first part of that sentence. Can we eliminate the possibility, and I'm saying eliminate 0%, that he missed practice because he was conducting an interview with Chris Berman?
I don't know. Can we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
We can say that's a 0% chance.
All right. So he missed for some other reason.
But I don't understand how both can be true. You know, you yell at me for both things I believe can't be true. If you're hurt today, how were you not hurt yesterday?
That wasn't the reason he missed the practice.
But even if it wasn't, say the main reason was he went to a funeral. Had he not gone to the funeral, he couldn't have practiced because he was hurt. So reason 1B was that he was hurt. So it was always partially because he was hurt.
Right, but technically they did not violate any rules.
I'm not saying they violated anything. Yeah. I'm saying that...
I think he was hurt yesterday, he's hurt today.
Look, we know that.
But you could say any day when a guy doesn't...
Eric ran into my office breathlessly when the report came out. See? He wasn't listed. Well, it was listed as non-football.
Just so you know, that's why I'm disputing this, because it's a little personal. Because he was wrong. It was injury-related, even though the report said it wasn't.
No, but
it was.
No, but he never disputed that. He was right, because he said, it doesn't matter, they will list this as non-football-related, and he was right.
But that doesn't...
Nah. Now, we know he's hurt.
None of us said...
And now we're... You know, now it's going to be listed.
But wait a minute. None of us said that.
Why did Schefter know
it
before?
Won't be listed as non-football related?
I did. I said to him.
We all said it's not football related.
Right.
That's the only thing that
right.
we said.
Right.
I mean, there's a difference there. I can't control what they're going to write on the report.
He couldn't have run into my office.
Oh, I know. And I mentioned it before I left to do radio yesterday. I mentioned it to Andy. I said, I think that you have a very good chance of being right on this, and he's not going to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
We said this yesterday, and I think that you are onto something about the whole offensive line situation.
Sure.
He's banged up. What are you going to gain from this? I think you're onto something. He thinks there's no chance that he doesn't play like normal. And I said to him, I don't know why this has become such a passionate argument when really, in reality, who cares?
Right.
Either way.
Right.
I mean, I understand you care about the first or second seed and whatever, but – I think we can all agree, if Tom Brady is not at 100%, this game is not worth playing him in.
That's what I say.
So, really, in the long run, I mean, who cares if it lists non-football? I know he's hurt.
Right.
I know that's why he didn't practice yesterday. I don't know why they put down non-football injury-related. I think you could put non-football injury-related to anybody that's on the injury report for any reason you deem.
Right.
All you have to say is, oh, yeah. He's got a broken leg, but I thought he could use a day of rest. So it's a non-football injury related thing. You could do that for anybody.
And then tomorrow he didn't practice because the leg's broken.
Because he had a broken leg.
I mean, what do you think? You know, they're debating this on Twitter, Greg Bedard. I don't understand how you can go from not injured to injured on Wednesday night.
Without having played.
Right. So he didn't practice, so he could not have got injured in practice.
I know, but technically, by saying not football related yesterday, they're not saying he wasn't injured.
I believe it said that. Not injury related.
That's exactly what
but
they said.
All that is saying, why wasn't he at practice? And I'm sure that there is something that the league knows that he did. Otherwise,
I'll guarantee you that's why he's going to be on the injury report today. If Schefter is right, no reason to believe that he's not.
Oh, yeah.
I'll guarantee you that's why it's going to say left shoulder or something today, is because the league said, really?
Bill? I'm not as up in arms about this as some people are.
There's no need to be up in arms because,
I'm
you know,
not up in arms.
Much like members of the media, there's nothing that he could do to make you ever be up in arms.
Well, that's true.
Unless you're coughing. Then your arms go up.
Arms up.
All right, that's going to do it for today.
Left him speechless.
Look, but the reports are, and Tom Curran has supposedly got some kind of inside track because he's been the one quoted on EEI when they do their flash, that he had an X-ray yesterday
everything was fine.
He didn't say yesterday.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, everybody on the radio kept
sure
saying
he had
that.
An X-ray on Sunday night when I watched him put his robe on, leave with a doctor, and go to the X-ray room.
Okay,
or see, now
maybe he had there. Another one.
Well, here's the other thing, and I want to talk about this because
I think
it is interesting.
The original X-ray.
Yesterday, everybody on the radio was saying Tom Curran wrote that he had an X-ray today. Now, I didn't see the story.
Maybe they should have said,
Tom Curran wrote that he had an X-ray.
Again, English language.
There's meaning in words.
Grammar.
But I don't think it was a grammar problem. I think people were saying that the X-ray took place on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe that's what Tom said.
I don't think that's what Tom said either. I didn't see Tom's original report.
I did, and I'm pretty sure he just said Tom Brady had an X-ray and was told he was all set or whatever.
But he wrote that report came out.
Yeah. But
he didn't say when the X-ray took place.
No.
Well, you know, that's back to our grammar thing. That's
right. That's kind of important.
If you didn't know when it took place, it should have said in there, it is unknown when the X-ray actually took place.
Right.
Because to me, if he had an X-ray on Wednesday, that's a far bigger deal to me than an X-ray on Sunday.
Right. That means it's gotten worse.
That means it still hurts, and he doesn't understand why.
Right.
Maybe he had an X-ray on Sunday or Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe he had an X-ray on Saturday. It said all set. And on Wednesday, you know what? This is
right.
I don't know if this is right.
It does make a big difference.
To me, there's an enormous difference there if he had an X-ray on Wednesday as opposed to Saturday.
But the second part of that report is what I'm most interested in, is that everything looked okay. So we're talking about a sprain, right?
That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt.
No. But we're talking about a sprain. So you know, it's not like ligament damage or anything like that. Or it could be, I guess, if you can play with that.
A sprain is ligament damage.
Yeah. That's the definition of a sprained ankle.
It's not, there's nothing broken.
Yeah.
If the X-ray came back all set, that means, you know, he doesn't have a separated shoulder or a broken collarbone.
All the
something.
Bones are intact and where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's all it means.
You know what I'm saying, Derek?
I'm right with you, Paul.
All right.
It's kind of irrelevant.
He's watching TV.
He's in a lot of
We've
pain,
bored him.
And it's his left shoulder.
The live studio audience
Those
isn't all
it's
cracked up to be, is it?
Those are the two major
facts in my mind. Really
not. And there was also an insinuation that he fell on it, that it happened when he was running.
I think it was the scramble on the first down and the last possession of the game. That's when Zoe brought it up on the radio. They played a clip yesterday on the Sports Hub. After the Dolphins scored to make it 27-24, the Patriots got the ball first and 10 from their 20, and he almost got sacked. And he avoided it, and he ran for about 4 or 5 yards, and he landed hard on his left shoulder on that play.
He didn't slide, right?
No.
Right.
He landed hard on his left shoulder on that play. The next play, they had a little toss to Ridley, and Zolak immediately said that he tossed it really funny. It wasn't a normal toss, and he tossed it with his right hand, which is not uncommon, but it was something, he said it looked off, and then he was watching him, and he says he's really favoring that left shoulder. That left shoulder, the arm is down by his side, and his shoulder is drooped. Now, I don't know if that's when it happened, but that's when Zolak noticed it.
Right. And, you know,
because I know some other people have insinuated it happened on a quarterback sneak. I don't think that's the case.
And we, you know, after the game in the locker room, when the video of him hugging Robert Kraft, he definitely had only his right arm around him and his left arm was down by his side. And that's usually not the kind of way you hug someone. So there's no doubt that something's going on. Whether or not it affects his throwing ability, we don't know. Whether or not playing could hurt it even more, we don't know. But I definitely think that if this line, if you're going to hold out Mankins and Light is not 100%, even if he plays, I see no benefit in putting Brady out there.
I
really don't.
Assuming it can get worse.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's – I don't know enough about the – I was kind of hoping we'd get one of those Boston Globe stories today where the doctor says, I haven't seen Brady's injury, but if it is X
– right.
At least I'd have – I have no idea.
That's funny. You were hoping for those. I hate those.
Because I can't stand – and then they have the diagram of, you know
– but at least
– a shoulder like this
one. Something.
Right. Right.
And give me Tom Martinez saying, well, if his left shoulder is separated, he might be opening up too early and his throws will sail.
That's something I'm interested
in. I need some of that. I have no idea what the ramifications of playing with a bad left shoulder are for a right-handed quarterback.
Yeah, Andy and I talked about that yesterday. Andy asked me that. And that I agree with. If you could talk to even, you know, a former quarterback, well, I had a problem with my off shoulder once and this is what happened to me. That to me is of some value. The whole, you know, medical diagnosis for someone who didn't actually see this injury to me is
borderline
useless.
Can he get worse if he gets hit? Is it just pain threshold or is it actual, now it could be pop out of the socket or whatever?
Sure. Now, I carefully watched Tom Brady's press conference yesterday. And no, I was looking for any sign that he was raising his left arm. And he did, you know, raise his left arm a little bit.
In the elbow or the shoulder?
Well, from the elbow up. Oh. Right. From in a natural motion of when you use your hands when you talk. So,
well,
you know,
not if it's Andy.
And I didn't see
Andy's like swimming.
Well, I know.
And he gets going.
So, and I didn't see any wince or anything like that. But
wince, willful.
You know, we'll see. But I don't see any benefit in playing him this week. You know.
So now, are you going to torture Eric if the injury report comes out today and it says left shoulder?
No, he was right.
No, he won't
be
right. He'll have been wrong.
He's hurt. We know he's hurt. No, he missed practice because he was hurt.
I don't think Eric ever said he wasn't hurt.
I thought you were going to say he was wrong, because then I would have to wholeheartedly agree with you.
So, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Now, you think maybe Chris Berman told Schefter that Brady said, yeah, he's not practicing all week. His shoulder's killing him.
That's a possibility.
Maybe.
I just want to know why Schefter knows before practice that Brady's not going to practice. And the tie-in would seem to be Chris Berman was here sitting down with Tom Brady yesterday.
I think that's a very,
and Berman doesn't report
very
stuff,
plausible scenario. Yeah, he's not going to go on Twitter.
Same company. You know, yeah, Berman doesn't break these stories. Yeah.
But I do also wonder if someone in the league said, Bill, really? Come on. I understand what you want to do with that injury report, but don't make us look so foolish. You know? When everybody's writing about a possible injury, and then the guy misses practice, and you say not injury-related. It's not like no one knew of an injury
before
yesterday.
Well, and the question the league would say is, all right, if he didn't go to that funeral or if he didn't do what he was doing, would he have been able to practice?
And I'm saying no, because he can't practice on Thursday, then he wasn't going
to
practice Wednesday.
You know, just to use your little scenario of what you can do to make it non-injury-related, what if Tom Curran's thing was indeed a Wednesday x-ray? Is that not injury-related?
Right.
Because he went to get an x-ray on his all-set shoulder?
Well, yeah, it came back all set, so it wasn't injury.
Except for he missed the next day.
Now, will Bill be grilled on this tomorrow, you think, in his press conference?
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
What if I grill him? How much you want to bet?
How much you want to bet you won't grill him?
Yeah. Oh, good.
Absolutely,
Derek.
Nothing.
Good.
This guy chiming in. Tough guy over here in the corner. Why don't you go? You're out of school for a while. Go grill him.
Another paper tiger.
I'll see what I can do if I can get you a credential.
Throw me into the fire and we'll just see what happens.
All right.
I'll be the fall guy.
It would be fun to watch.
Tim is in Pensacola. Hey, Tim.
Fred, you honor me with your presence.
Thank
Fred.
You, Tim.
Tim, you honored me by not calling yesterday.
You know what? There's a video online.
Of Andy, you with a dog?
No. Andy, type in Howard Stern, you should smile, and that first link will explain my sentiments towards you. Now, I have two comments and a question. My first comment. Okay, I forgot my first comment, so I'll go on to my second comment.
Wow.
Go
like
Argos.
Me.
An intellectual
hey, go
institution.
Argos. Yes, Argos are awesome. Fred.
Yes.
You should, as a political science major, you should totally get into an argument with Jonathan Kraft about politics. I would find it fascinating.
Yeah, but that's not the subject matter that we discuss. Well,
plus, he loses everyone.
You're too valuable to the company, so hopefully in order to punish you or something, he'll get so angry he'll fire Andy.
Right.
But my question is that what is it with these practice jerseys? You guys talk sometimes about black jersey and players immolating players from the other team. Could you explain that? And then I'll let you go. So,
what did you say?
I'll answer it. I heard you. I was listening. See, I respect you enough to listen, even though I'm going to take shots at you later. I listened to your question. Every week, there's a scout team. And the scout team runs plays off cards, mimicking the other team's offense and or defense for the Patriots' offense and or defense. And oftentimes, they pick players to run the plays that have some athletic ability that's similar to the guy they're mimicking. So while you can't have Michael Vick, you can have Julian Edelman run around and try to be like Michael Vick on a given week. Or a big defensive end. I mean, they use Zoltán Mezco to try to knock down passes because he was tall enough to knock down passes.
Now, they do this the week after they play him?
No. They do this the week before they play him.
Oh, I was about to say. Okay, that's why I was confused, because I thought for a second they did it the week after. And I was
No, but they award the jerseys
They
the
award
week after.
Black jerseys to represent the 4, 5, 6 guys who best prepared them for the game.
And they only get them after
and they
a win.
Well, yeah, because they didn't do their best preparation if they lose. So,
yeah, which is very flawed.
But they also wear pennies with the number of said player. So if a guy is playing Michael Vick, he'll wear 7 in a yellow penny over his regular jersey, or a corner or a linebacker or a passer, anybody. So that's what it is.
Okay, well, thanks. That's all I wanted to know, and I'll catch you guys later.
Okay.
Screw you.
Thanks,
hey,
Tim.
Screw you, Andy.
You know, the funniest part about that call is as soon as Fred said, Tim in Pensacola, Derek was disgusted. He moved his mic out of the way and sat back as if to say, I'm not going to participate in this.
Well, listener on listener crime. We love it.
Live. Gene, live listener on listener crime.
Oh, we like Derek better. He buys lunch.
Gene in Daytona says, I agree with you, Fred. It's more important to be healthy for the playoffs. So let Tom, Matt, and Logan sit. Give the backups a full week of practice with the number one team, and let's see what they can do. Run the ball all day to take pressure off Brian. Keep the score low. Shorten the game and rely on our defense to win this one. And we might all be surprised. I can hear Andy laughing at me already.
No, I'm not laughing. I'm actually thinking it gives Stephen Ridley, or whatever running back you're going to put out there, the opportunity to run when a defense knows you're probably going to run.
Right.
See what you can do, kid. They know you're going to run at them because right. Brian Hoyer's out there.
Yeah.
Can you do it?
I'm not laughing. See what you can do, Nate Solder, and see what you can do, Marcus Cannon, perhaps.
Sure, run
you
blocking.
Know? Yeah.
Now, that's a little different because some of those guys won't be in if you get Mankins and Light back. But you very well, the next week against a good playoff defense, might want to run Stephen Ridley, and at least now you have a little more confidence, or lack thereof, I guess, if he doesn't perform well against the Bills.
Yeah, and I'm not laughing at all at the scenario because I think that's what they should do. I'm Fred, like I said, I'm with you on from Tuesday on. Actually, you wrote the edit letter that kind of
best ever
alluded to that. Yeah. I think you were dead on.
The bar's not that high then. Go Pats.
You said it, not me.
Go Pats.
Go Pats.
The only thing I don't like is I don't think this team is good enough, and I don't like that they're not having positive momentum with what they're going to do in the postseason. But if Brady's hurt, that's unfortunate. We can't do that.
Do you get significant positive momentum if you go out and win the game 38-0?
If you go out and actually score in the first quarter like they don't do and march down the field and don't punt
really,
throughout.
But do you think that's all it takes is one good game and all of a sudden you change it?
I think it helps.
Yeah.
I think it helps you wipe it away. If you have another bad game, I don't think it helps.
Well, I think the opposite is worse.
Yeah, I agree.
What?
I think it could be negative energy.
If you do really badly.
So now we're so afraid of our performance that we're going to sit instead of stinking.
I just think it's one of your, what do you call it, girl fights.
Wait, so
you know, they could go out and play well, and you're playing against a terrible team that's spiraling down and playing out the string. If you play badly, then it's a further indictment on the lack of momentum.
You played plenty of terrible teams where you didn't score in the first
quarter. No, I know, but
that's
but if you do score in the first quarter, I don't think it's going to give you a whole big lift.
Oh, I do.
Because I think it's your girl fight.
I'm
that
better
you're
than I was when
month.
I wasn't scoring in the first quarter against bad football.
Or the other team is worse than the other teams that you played. That's all.
The other team beat you.
And
Gene, I know that was when they were a Super Bowl contender with all their top talent.
Gene also
actually,
said
they were undefeated at that time, the Patriots. Remember? That was my infamous. Tell me again why they're not going to go undefeated.
Yeah, that was what, the second quarter somewhere in there?
Second quarter. I think it was 14-0.
Derek would like
to
say
time.
Something, and since he bought lunch, he bought the opportunity to speak.
Okay.
I was just curious because, wait, so you're worried about next week, and they're worried about, like, your negative energy carrying over to the playoffs?
No, I'm not worried about
Andy's,
any of that.
Andy's worried about momentum.
No, not negative energy. I'd
momentum.
Like to have
positive. You want to build momentum.
I'd like the positive.
Okay, because I was worried about that because of the question you were talking about earlier with, you know, what would you be more surprised about, a first, you know, round loss or a Super Bowl loss?
So if no, Super Bowl win.
Super Bowl win. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. So I thought if Fred was saying, you know, the negative momentum, you can't go ahead and say he'd be, you know, less surprised about a Super Bowl win and have the negative.
Yeah, no, he's not worried about any negative.
Right.
He's ready.
I'm
to
worried
just,
about Tom Brady getting into
that's
the
play right there. They just showed it on ESPN.
Yeah, they've been showing it, you know, right now because it is a developing story, you know, for SportsCenter. So.
Sir, sure.
For a week ago.
Yeah.
The Patriots
are
the best.
That wasn't that hard a fall, really.
Well, I think
he might have fallen awkwardly.
I think there was a guy on top of his right shoulder that drilled his left shoulder into the turf.
Maybe.
But I just think it's
walking away with his shoulder drooped low and his right shoulder.
And that's what Zoe noticed immediately.
But only in New England does the MVP get hurt, and it takes like 5 days before people notice, and then it becomes a developing story.
Well,
the
thing that's funny about it is it was written about, but people didn't have, I don't think, the strength of their convictions. I think people alluded to it Monday. I found, you know, a clip from Karen Garigian story. You know, Andy included a piece of it in Ask PFW, but I don't think anybody looked at this and said, hey, this is what happened, and we're writing a story about Brady's injury until yesterday.
But they should have.
And they should have.
He was hurt. I came up and told you, Fred, after the game, Brady's hurt.
Yeah.
First thing I said.
We as usual, make observations, and we share them here on PFW in Progress, but we don't necessarily...
Like, I think a reporter should have very easily tweeted in the locker room, wow, Tom Brady really favoring his left arm, just left the locker room with a doctor, you know, struggling to put his...
Struggling.
Whatever. I think that's obvious in this Twitter age. And on Twitter, to me, you don't have the same journalistic standards. You're not writing a whole story that he's hurt. You're just saying...
It's an observation.
It's an observation for my Twitter account.
Right. What?
Ian Rappaport tweeted after the game, because I was monitoring Twitter for the post-game show.
Pretty sure I know
he
where
said,
I got
that. Seeing Tom Brady try to put his shirt on, he was favoring his left shoulder.
Well, there you go. You continue.
When was this hit, Brady?
Well, you got to give
quarter,
credit.
Last drive.
Saying people should have done it, he did it.
I was sitting.
I don't give him credit for
it. I was sitting on the first row right in front of Brady the entire game, and I didn't see anything, even in, you know.
Yeah, it's the very, very last drive, and it was the fourth to last play of the game.
You were so drunk, Derek. You don't remember anything.
I was lubed up for the game.
Because Brady told him to be.
Gina Daytona also says if it's a torn shoulder ligament, it takes 2 months to heal.
That's what I needed. The report from Gene.
If it's a torn ligament.
Right. And there's degrees of torn ligament, right?
Right. And that also wouldn't show up in an X-ray. And I haven't seen reports that they decided to take the next step and get an MRI.
Well, that's part of what I had said to you about if he got the X-ray on Saturday and then needed another one on Wednesday. In other words, 4 days went by, and he said, you know what?
But I would have thought that would have been an MRI.
This still doesn't feel right.
Take that next step and get more of a picture.
But
Fred's looking at his phone.
I think he's going to play sparingly at best on Sunday,
yes.
If at all. And then, you know, I think you take 2 weeks off, and hopefully he's...
I'm guessing he doesn't play because he's not practicing today. My momentum theory, now you're just going to throw him out there without practice time and a game plan or whatever. I'm not sure that's the best way to build a great series to start the game.
They might go out there and have him play a series just to see what it feels like for him. And then get that information in the books and then sit him
can't
for the
you
rest
do that
of the game.
At practice?
Yeah, can't you do that? You can simulate.
Is it
you
really?
Can he can take a legitimate drop back,
for
and throw a ball.
Yeah, for a series of plays,
I guess so.
That's a simulated game in baseball. He can definitely simulate everything he needs
to. I guess so.
And to me, the negatives so outweigh the positives of that, just to see what it feels like. All of a sudden, if you get a situation like you did on Saturday where the first three plays are, jailbreak.
Right, like Elvis Dumervil the week before coming untouched.
Can you imagine that?
Yep.
Can you imagine if you took a hit like that in a game like this, what you would feel like?
Oh.
I mean, I already know how you feel, Fred.
Oh, I'd be beside myself.
As Andy already said, that
you'd
was
be swearing.
And, you know, as a matter of fact.
Would that make you question the coach just out of curiosity?
No. Yes.
No, it wouldn't.
It would now, but at the time it won't.
Exactly.
I'm already on record saying what my beliefs are. So if
no, I know, but if
you've been on record with a lot of stuff before that you change later.
If number 12 trots out on the field on Sunday, you're going to start yelling
Andy,
at me
the
and
man
Andy.
Of integrity over here.
Me and Andy will be getting yelled at on in the press box.
My head will be down and I'll be saying nothing because I know
that
when he's crossed the line.
Belichick
it's
squat. If he gets hurt. If he breaks his leg, though.
If he gets hurt, then forget. Then it's I'm going into.
But
I'm going to go
totally
to hangover with B-Lo and Lindsay.
Then, you know, you can't really say.
Can you imagine if he gets hurt? Like he all of a sudden is just like the Kansas City thing.
Right.
If he got hurt in a game like that on Sunday, I would leave our little loft and go over with B-Lo and Lindsay to stay healthy.
And there's plenty
of
room
protected
because they sit like 20 feet apart for some reason.
B-Lo, I mean, you would be.
Well, it's a court order.
He cracked himself up.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Dave in Alexandria writes in, now that we've locked up the bye, I wanted to ask you a question that's been bugging me all year. How is it, with all the money invested in owning an NFL team, players show up at the start of the season out of shape or don't know their playbook as well as they know their childhood phone number? I understand that some of these guys earn such a large paycheck, they appear to stop caring about doing their best, insert sound of Andy coughing Haynesworth under his breath. But honestly, every player should recognize that their NFL career will be improved if they are in top physical condition and they know their assignments on each and every play. Plus, their risk of injury could actually be reduced if they started the season in great shape. I don't understand why each player doesn't have their own personal trainer during the offseason, who specializes in strength, agility, and flexibility, someone who wakes them up in the morning and drills them on exercises to improve their abilities each and every day. Similar to how I don't understand how rich celebrities don't have their own drivers simply to avoid an alcohol-related car accident.
I agree with that one.
Pay a trainer $15,000 for the offseason. Consider it a business expense of playing in the NFL, and you'll start the season ready to rumble. And when it comes to learning learning the playbook, the team should get every player his own personal tutor to help break down his assignments. I don't care if it involves drilling Ocho Cinco with flashcards while he's standing in the shower, tracing connect-the-dot diagrams for running routes while he's eating breakfast, or giving him a multiple-choice quiz at the end of each and every practice. For example, if Tom looks at you and pats his helmet, you should A, run, B, deep post, C, into Gronkowski, or D, run for political office. Maybe I'm naive, but I feel as if an NFL player should be studying every moment he isn't exercising, and the team shouldn't be leaving the studying up to the players. At the risk of falling prey to a stereotype, I'm guessing a large portion of NFL players weren't exactly straight-A students. Seriously, being in shape and knowing the playbook are the most important things these guys need to worry about. If you're in shape and you know your assignments, chances are your NFL career will last longer and will be much more impressive. I think back to my days of rowing at UMass Amherst. Well, there's a lot of playbook you have to study to do that. Where all I did every day was take classes and train myself to be a stronger and faster athlete. We train hard during the spring and fall seasons, and we train even harder during the off seasons. And we didn't even get paid for it. Yet, how I miss those simple yet challenging days now. So that's Dave in Alexandria, something that's been bugging him all season. So, what do you guys think?
Can I ask a question off of that email?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's something he feels really strongly about. Do you think that's a major issue in the NFL, is guys being out of shape and not knowing their playbook?
For certain guys, yes, but not overall.
No, I said a major issue, yeah, no. I asked you.
On a percentage basis, no.
Well, 1%, maybe?
Yeah,
two?
I think we heard it more this year because of Ocho Cinco.
But that wasn't because he wasn't studying his playbook. He didn't have his playbook.
Right. Right. That was extenuating circumstances.
I mean, I think you could legitimately say that about a guy, as Dave pointed out, Albert Haynesworth.
Out of shape.
I think football is not all that important to him, and he's not ready to play.
Yep.
I don't think there are a lot of guys like that.
Nope.
I really don't.
But, you know, it is human nature for some of these guys. You get a big contract, and now you've kind of made it, and you lose the eye of the tiger.
Well, there's a lot of different reasons. I mean, yeah, there's young players who continue to do what was good enough in high school and what was good enough in college, but it's no longer good enough.
Right.
Because everybody's better, and it's harder, and everything. Right. I mean, there's different reasons. There's money is certainly a reason. Some of them, I just think, like Haynesworth, they are who they are.
Yep.
And football is almost irrelevant. They would be the same person in any other job, sport, culture. You know, they either have the drive or they don't. The commitment, they don't. And, I mean, that's the problem. The answer to all these questions is they're people. On the bottom level, they're people, and they have the flaws that any people can. So even if you got him a trainer, some of these guys would blow the trainer off. When he's supposed to meet him at the local high school,
everybody's different.
Wouldn't be there.
Everybody's different, yeah. I mean,
and I'm not saying it's not a problem at all. I just don't think it's a major NFL issue. I think that almost every player is in ridiculous shape. And I don't see a lot of examples of guys that don't know their playbooks.
But you know, Rodney Harrison was just a workout warrior and always driving other guys to be up to his level. Everybody's different, but, you know, it's just human. That's why, you know, these coaching is so important in the NFL. You got 53 guys, you know, more including the practice squad. You got to just keep them going. It's hard to do.
And at some point, there's personal accountability. I mean, we're really going to hire 3 people to watch every one player, you know, a tutor, a trainer, and a nutritionist to literally go everywhere with them and watch them at all times.
Right. And most of these guys do have the personal trainers. Right. I know right now, and I won't say who it is, but Gerard Mayo, after the day, goes to a personal trainer and continues to do more stuff.
I knew who he was talking about.
I'm not saying who it is.
But, I know who it is.
But, you know, he brings other guys with him, mm-hmm. too. To me, I was startled. Like, aren't they working out here? They are, but they're doing extra stuff.
Well, here they just do a minor maintenance program, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they... guys do have their own personal trainers, not just in the offseason, but even
that's a little different. That's a guy who naturally wants to be better, getting his own. This is a team trying to force that atmosphere on an Albert Haynesworth. It's not going to stick. It's not going to work because the player is still the player.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I do. Everyone's different.
The guy who doesn't need the trainer gets his own trainer. The guy who needs the trainer won't even take the trainer you get for him.
And I understand the thing that bugs the emailer and, you know, bugs all of us is, man, if Albert Haynesworth could only just do that, imagine how great he could be. And that's what bugs all of us. Man, you know, whenever you see someone with such innate talent, waste it.
And that gets back to our whole, that's why the rare great ones are great, because they have the talent
Jerry
and the
Rice.
Work ethic. But a lot of the guys that have the talent start coasting early on because chumps like me have to work so hard, they don't.
Right. Jerry Rice looks like he could run for passes right now.
Right, because he's Jerry Rice.
That's who he is. He doesn't.
And he did, actually. Wasn't he on SportsCenter last week running down the field catching
in
passes.
A suit.
Yeah. Wasn't that on?
Yeah. let's see. Kevin from High Point, North Carolina, just had a quick question for all of you, but particularly Andy.
Okay.
Yesterday, Andy said that Chung isn't the difference between the defense being what it currently is, which is atrocious, and being great. With that statement, I completely agree. But my question is it possible that he could be the difference that makes them sufficient enough to win in the playoffs? There's no question that this defense isn't playing as well as anyone that's ever played the game, but I'm hopeful that they can play well enough to let their offense win games for them. That's where I think I agree. I think he could help them be better.
Yes, and for those of you that believe that the offense is good enough and this team can win, you'd have a better chance of that happening with Chung on the field because he's better than the other player that will be playing. I don't personally believe this defense is good enough to even be a complementary factor to a three-game playoff run, and I don't think he's the difference to make them automatically complementary enough. I mean,
you do have some evidence in the first 8 weeks when the defense was
not good,
not discernibly different than the last 8 weeks.
Just one question, Matt. Did you call the Pizzeria Grande in the local area or the one in Arizona?
I just called them back, and the woman said that the food went out 25 minutes ago, which means it should be here.
I'm
going to
have some cold meatballs.
And they said it's not here.
Luckily, I have cold tuna anyway. Yes.
I think our driver stole our food or something
Son
like that.
Son of a bitch.
Maybe he pulled the Kevin and just locked himself out.
Could be.
Wow, your first rim shot. Do you feel special?
I feel pretty good.
I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling pretty good.
As long as it's not the Urban Dictionary rim shot.
That's rim job.
Oh.
Easy.
Takes one to know one. let's see. Phil in Nova Scotia. I'm sticking my head up my ass for the playoffs. See, I don't care. I'll say
Speaking of rim job.
I don't care. I'll say
it. If you were on a Disney-owned entity, you'd be fired.
I just can't stand the thought of another one and done. I'm going to pretend that the defense is finally going to play a full 60 minutes and assume Wolfork is not lying and that it will be scary. Listen, if other people can believe a virgin can have a baby, that a fat guy can slide down a chimney, and that as well as means the same as better than I can believe this. Screw you guys if you don't like it. I'm hopped up on caffeine, sugar, and cold medication. It's playoff time, baby. I'm with you, Phil.
Good for you, Phil. I like it.
That was awesome, Phil.
Reason be damned.
Let's see. David writes in, if Brady sits out this week, how do you think it affects his performance in the playoffs? If he doesn't play, he will not play again till January 15th, which means he'll have a three-week break. We've seen this effect in the playoffs in all sports when a team or player takes off too much time and becomes rusty. The correlation of winning with momentum is pretty high, so this makes me pretty worried. Thanks for all the good work, and here's to hoping that the Jets win, but the Titans also win, getting the Jets' hopes up high and then destroying it. Very reminiscent of 2008 when we won in Week 17 but needed the Jets to beat Miami for us to get in, but they lost. F the Jets.
This is going to be one of those great armchair quarterback things, Monday morning quarterbacks, where, you know, they got off to a slow start on offense, so clearly Brady was rusty, and clearly he should have played.
Completely ignoring
the
fact that
the rusty starts in all the games where he actually played every week.
Since September, they've had a lot of rusty starts.
So, and if he comes out great, see, he should have rested. He needed the rest. And I'll let you know after the game how it worked out.
To me, it's all about his health. You don't. That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. If he's not healthy, I don't understand why you play him. So you're trying to help him be less rusty.
But what if nothing changed? That's the only thing I don't know about the injury. Like Fred said, maybe he needs to learn how to play through pain because he's going to have the exact same pain or worse in January. I don't know. I don't know if there's some benefit there from that. And it can't get worse. If he gets hit, it's not going to get any worse. It's whatever he has to deal with, so let's have him deal with it for two series or a half.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
But then there's the other issue. Even if he's healthy, forget about it. Let's pretend he never got hurt.
Okay.
Do we want him out there if Mankins and Light is not playing?
Sure.
That's your theory, too. That one, if he were 100%, or, you know, I understand no one's 100%, but if he didn't have a shoulder injury, I would start him. And I probably wouldn't finish him, but I would, you know, I would do the normal thing
but I even think about that.
But the other thing with the injury, it's so dangerous to try to figure, you know, could it, I don't know how you can get, I think you could guarantee that structurally there's no more damage he could do, but I don't know how you can say he can't be in more pain if he gets hit on it than he is without getting
right.
hit
if
on
something's
it.
Something stretched, I mean, which is a sprain, right, yeah. Why couldn't it get stretched more?
Well, what about simply playing with a shot?
You mean a Novocaine
shot?
Well,
I'm sure he's going to get a shot for the playoff game.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to play with a shot in this game to get used to it. I don't know if – I mean, I think there's a million things you could have to consider.
Right.
Well, I don't have the answers to those.
Because I don't know if they would – you know, we talked about, well, he can go out on the practice field and simulate everything. But would they give him a shot to simulate
something?
Well, that's
what something? I was saying.
Why
is,
not?
Is, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't see why you would say that, you know, the shot – we don't want to give him a shot for just practice.
I don't know. Is it ethically –
I mean, if it's important to figure out what it feels like under those circumstances, I would say you do it in practice. I don't, you know, from a physical standpoint, like from your, you know, from an ethical standpoint, it's okay because it was a game, Tom. You know, suck it up.
Well, now I'm talking about practice, not a game, mind
I don't
you.
Get that.
We're going to shoot him up at practice.
If there's something wrong with giving a guy a shot, then you really shouldn't give him a shot in a game either.
Take a shot.
Like North Dallas 40? You probably never saw it. No,
nope, never seen it.
No. It was before
it?
1980. Of course
you saw
did.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
I just know that's the one that Borges always cites. When I keep telling them it's a business, they tell me it's a game. And when I tell them it's a game, they tell me it's a business.
Nick Nolte, yes.
Let's see. Dylan writes in, and he's from New Jersey. Just have a quick question. Do you think that Brady's injury will affect his game play as far as the playoffs? As of recent seasons in the postseason, he's been known for choking and throwing interceptions, only to learn he was suffering either with an ankle injury or a rib injury.
Don't leave out the foot from last year.
Right.
Well,
that's Paul's thing, is we learned 2 months
Matt
later
from
that
KSP
he was hurt.
Emailing it.
Well, I don't think he, first of all, I'll completely eliminate the word choke. I don't think Tom Brady chokes.
Right.
You know, has he not played well in the playoffs recently? No, he hasn't. You know, that's the Matt Smith side of the argument. You know, last 10 playoff games, 5-5. You know, yeah. I mean, those are the numbers. Those are facts. It's hard to deny that. I don't know how much that's had to do with, his physical play. The thing that I tease them about, and when I was talking to you, is we always find out later that not so much about the performance being affected, but you know, he was so hurt that had they won that game, he wouldn't have been able to play the next game. And that's happened at least two or three times. I remember in 2002, as far back as that, you know, they had a win the last day of the season against Miami and hoped that the Jets beat Green Bay. I mean, lost to Green Bay, and Green Bay rolled over for them, and the Jets blew them out, and we didn't make the playoffs. And everybody, all of a sudden, like 3 weeks later, came out with reports. Well, had Green Bay won that game and the Patriots made the playoffs, Brady wouldn't have played in the playoffs. Which I find absurd. There is nothing to tell me that he wouldn't have played in the playoffs.
Right.
He had a torn ACL. That kept him out of games. Short of that, I don't think that he's not going out there to at least try to play.
Right. Tony Romo played with
broken ribs.
Broken ribs. And
so did Brady.
Yeah.
And didn't he have a punctured lung? Partially punctured lung or something?
I mean, that's the report that happened in that San Francisco game way back when.
Yeah.
What, week two?
Mm-hmm. I
just can't imagine a scenario that Tom Brady could physically stand in there and he wouldn't be playing.
Dylan also has a little over-under for this game. Number of yards Brady will throw for, 400.
Under.
I say under, too.
Under.
I think that's a pretty safe
About 400 under that.
Right. Number of TDs Brady will throw for, 3. Under.
Under.
Number of yards for Ridley, 70.
Over.
I'm going to go over.
Over. Number of sacks for Anderson, 3.
Under.
Under.
And Ocho Cinco receptions, 3.
Over.
Under.
I'm saying over. Do you notice I picked him for my JetBlue high flyer? Of the
you know what would be funny?
Yes.
Brian Hoyer plays, and he doesn't have the whole, he's not where I need him to be thing, and he just starts pumping the ball to Ocho.
Right. And he's breaking tackles, and he's making big plays and everything. That would be funny.
All right. That would be.
And Ocho comes over, double barreled at Brady, flipping him the bird.
Then all of a sudden we got controversy.
Let's see. Chris Joe is emailing from Houston.
Chris Joe?
Chris Joe, C-R-I-S-J-O. Chris Joe.
I'm guessing it's two different names?
No, he spells it with all one word.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Okay. I've been listening to you guys since summer, and it's my first time emailing. I never knew there was a show like this before. Truly. You guys are very fun to listen to, but the argument from Tuesday was freaking hilarious.
Well, welcome aboard.
This is my draft, or what I would like the Patriots to draft this April if they use all their picks. On their first pick, I would like an elite pass rusher. If there is any by moving up in the second first-round pick, I would like a tall wide receiver who is a deep threat. Then I would like to spend all their other picks on defense. I'd like to see what you guys, your guys' take on this is, but this is kind of weird because Patriots are my number one team, but if the Patriots and Texans play in the playoffs, I wouldn't really mind who won because Texans never have been in the playoffs, and it would be great if the Texans or the Patriots won the Super Bowl. Good work. Keep up the good work. It's fun listening. I try to listen to your shows whenever I can.
Well, welcome aboard, Chris Joe.
I think any of those scenarios are, you know, tall wide receiver and
pass
deep
rusher.
Threat and
pass
a pass rusher.
Rusher. Pass rusher.
But
I've said it for 3 years. I'm going to make it four.
But I think what you're looking at is what every team is looking for. So down where the Patriots are picking, you're not going to get anyone elite. You're just not. They could turn out to be elite.
Or you could,
you know,
yeah,
and surprise people.
There could be elite pass rushers there.
But you take your top names, and they probably won't be available.
No, but you could get an elite pass rusher.
You could turn out to be, yes.
Okay, this has the makings of one of those. Just
he wouldn't be one. He wouldn't be one of the guys that, you know, Mel Kiper saying this guy's a blue chip.
If he were deemed elite, he'd go in the top 10 of the
exactly.
draft. But he could end up with elite production in the NFL.
Of course he could. Of course he could.
Right, but he could be elite. He just you know
wouldn't know it.
Who is it?
Well, was Tom Brady elite?
No.
Okay.
Not coming out.
That's
of college.
That's my point.
But he ends up elite.
Right.
Okay.
But
that's
I think point. There were people that thought that Clay Matthews was underdrafted, for example.
Underdrafted.
He should have gone higher than he did.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I wasn't one of them, just to state for the record.
I didn't know anybody.
I missed on him. I was wrong.
Thought he was
I don't want to come
first
up,
round
but I'm not trying to come up as a 2020 hindsight guy on Clay Matthews. I was wrong. I didn't think he was there.
But there are people saying
but
that
a lot of guys
year,
thought a lot higher of him than Andy and I did.
A lot of people thought, though, that this year he kind of tailed off. Didn't have quite
when his
the
college teammate got suspended for using steroids. It looked like
well, whatever the reason, whatever the reason.
I just don't know where you get these things from.
What?
The whole tail off.
Well, he did tail off. But he went virtually
statistically,
a whole season with like three sacks. Because starting like late last year through a point this year, he literally had like three sacks in a 16 game span.
Yeah, I mean, statistically that might be the case, but I mean, all right, whatever.
Well, what are you judging it on?
I watch when he plays, he's an impact player.
Okay.
In every game I've ever seen him play. Now, admittedly, that's not a lot because I don't see Green Bay play a lot. But when I see him, he's one of the better players out there.
All right. You know, I'm just relaying what I've heard. So, all right. We got a lot more emails, phone calls coming in. We'll get right to them after this break.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most. Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to get a word in. Call the PFW boys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398.
All right, we're back here at PFW in Progress, enjoying our lunch from Derek from the University of Arizona. Thank you, Derek. Came just in time. I was about to faint. Over the break, we were watching ESPN SportsCenter. I know they replay these things over and over again, but they had Adam Schefter on live, or Adam Schefter on the TV, not live, but saying definitively that Tom Brady will not practice today. So we'll see when the injury report comes out if that is in fact true. But supposedly he's got somebody, some bird on his shoulder telling him that Tom Brady will not practice today.
I also thought it was interesting that he brought up the fact that not something considered serious enough to keep him out of the game against Buffalo. I don't know if he had any further information that he talked to someone in the Patriots or what the case may be, but you know, you would think that if it was enough to keep him out of practice in a game that's not vital,
right,
that he would, you know, not play. But maybe someone told Schefter otherwise.
We'll see if Schefter's right. We don't know. It's just a report. Patriots are going out to practice, and we'll wait with bated breath to see what the tweeters say once the guys come out there, because we'll get that information probably within the next 10, 15 minutes, right? So I know Andy's on his tweet box right now, and as soon as he hears something, he'll tell us. Giovanni writes in. He says, I've got some ideas and suggestions for you guys pertaining to the pregame social and curse words. On Tuesday, he asked for ideas. Okay, let's take them. One. Why don't you guys start some kind of listener picks thing before the game like the PFW boys do? We are the PFW boys. Anyway, I know that Paul and Andy give out gift cards and stuff before the game. on the pregame social. Why not take listener picks and or score predictions before the game and give out a prize according to who has the most accurate picks? Maybe next year. Maybe have a halftime audio thing. Paul, you were talking about this the other day. Like the pregame social.
Son of a bitch.
What?
Who was talking about it?
Paul.
That was Andy.
You're an a-hole.
I actually wasn't a huge fan of this one.
Maybe have a halftime audio thing like the pregame social of Andy and Paul giving a summary of the first half, say what needs to happen around the second half, and maybe what the atmosphere is like in the stadium. Or maybe they can spin listeners around the league with scores and playoff scenarios that are unfolding. Three, finally, Fred, why don't you make it so each follower on Curse Words can only submit a limited number of comments, like maybe two or three. Make them choose their comments wisely. That's a good idea if I can. I don't
kind of like challenges.
Yeah. Those are just a few ideas. I don't know if you guys saw Greg Bedard on NFL.com interview with Fran Charles. He seemed very confident that the Pats were going to give or try to give Brady the record. Oh, and one more thing. Brooklyn Matt needs to go piss off. Don't tell the people who run the radio program how to run the radio program.
Yeah. Breaking news somewhat on Twitter. Obviously playing catch up a little bit here to the guy he replaced, Adam Schefter. Jason Lockenfora tweets, Tom Brady's shoulder is, quote, dinged, end quote. Nothing major. He's played through much worse. Both he and team expect he will play on Sunday. That's from Jason Lockenfora's Twitter feed.
Okay, well, this is heating up.
It really is.
Yeah.
5 days later, this is a big story.
You know, so I just think...
Boy, that really escalated, didn't it?
I think regardless of injury, the real story should he play, regardless of injury. So,
well, if Bedard is right and they're going for a record...
And I'm solely basing that on if it was any other year, I would have no question he's going to play.
Right.
But because of the situation with the offensive line, that's why I'm saying it. Not because, you know, it's the last game of the season, they got to see... It's because of the situation with the offensive line. Let's see. PJ writes in. What's up, men PFW? I have a question for you guys. Assuming we get the number one seed and the road to the bowl travels through Gillette, what is the easiest possible road to the Super Bowl that's realistic? What is the toughest possible road? Also, I have a little game for you. It is the football version of F, marry, and kill. In this game, you have to cut one player, sign one player for 1 year, and sign one player to a long-term deal. Let's say 5 years. Pretend all players are free agents, so we are not talking about extending deals or anything. Ready?
Wait, wasn't there a question?
Yeah, forget the question. Tom?
No, real quick. Cincinnati-Houston is the easiest path based on the playoff teams now. And Pittsburgh-Baltimore is the toughest.
Wait, it couldn't be Denver-Houston? Denver's the four, Houston the three.
Okay, if you want to, I'll go Cincinnati. You can go Denver.
Oh, if you allow me to pick my opponent, it's the Denver Broncos. No, every single time.
Aren't you worried about Tebow though?
No, he just loses.
Okay, quick. So this is you have to cut one, sign one for a year, and sign one long term. Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork, Aaron Hernandez.
Cut Vince Wilfork.
Sign Hernandez for the long term and
keep Brady.
Brady for the short term.
Yeah. Sorry, Vince. This was a fun game, though. This really makes you think.
Well, that was a very good trio to start off.
All right. How about this one? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, or Rob Gronkowski?
Cut Brady.
Sorry, Tom.
Bill short. Gronkowski short term, Bill long term.
Really?
I just think Gronkowski's going to have a short career. I'm starting to get worried about his all the hits he takes.
Devin McCourty, Kyle Arrington, Brandon Spikes.
This is a good game.
Fred's not going to like this one.
Cut, cut, cut.
No, McCourty short-term, cut, cut. I would say probably McCourty long-term, Arrington short-term, and cut Spikes.
Yeah. I could cut all of them, I'll be honest with you.
But I would be very afraid of giving McCourty a long-term deal right now, I'll tell you that.
Gerard Mayo, Patrick Chung, and Sebastian Vollmer.
Cut Vollmer, short-term Chung, long-term Mayo.
I agree.
Rob Ninkovich, Stephen Koskowski, Mark Anderson. This is the final one.
Long-term Gostowski, short-term Ninkovich, cut Anderson.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that. Good game, PJ. Good. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Sam in Kansas City. Hey, Sam.
This is Tim out in Kansas City.
Matt, it says Sam.
What's going on, Fred?
Hey, Sam.
He has fat ears. It makes it hard to hear. Sorry, Matt.
So I had a couple questions for you guys. About a week ago when you guys were discussing the rules of media and saying, you know, some are homers and some aren't, Andy at one point said that the role of the media was to find the things that were wrong with the team and report on that. Is that generally accepted, the view the media takes as far as find the thing that's wrong as opposed to, because you know, that day you guys were talking about why not report on the good thing?
You report on everything.
You report on everything, but I think we've seen that the positive doesn't sell as much as the negative, and I think that's what I was talking about. In all news, all coverage of everything, you can say that.
Yeah, but I don't think
so
that's
and so.
True.
Oh, I do. Watch the news. Watch any. Read any newspaper.
No. I'm talking about
everything.
Sports. I'm talking about sports. Mike Reese has more followers and people reading him than anyone
but his
else.
His is just stats. His isn't even positive.
But that's it's my point. It doesn't have to be negative as long as it's informational. If it's of value.
Wait, you're just talking about his little blog. That's all you're talking
I'm
about.
Talking about the things that he produces.
But how about ESPN and the Boston Globe and major news services? If they just print which guy wears which number every day,
no one will
buy their newspaper,
I
guarantee you.
When Mike Reese worked for the Boston Globe, he was the most read.
Well,
doesn't matter where he's working.
I disagree. But what you give him credit for is charting plays and which number a guy's going to wear that just got here on the team.
Those are some of the things he does.
If you print that every week,
a lot more
you'll lose
that.
All your readers.
He does a lot. Well, apparently he's got a lot of readers. So what's going on?
He's not in a real newspaper.
I don't think
when he was with the Globe.
And he did it like everyone else did for the most part.
I don't think he's in that much of an analytical look. I don't think he is an overly positive guy right now. I think he is strictly the numbers.
Well, I think right, but you don't have to be negative. Is my point.
Well, I don't think you.
In order to get readers, you can. Be
I don't think
down the. You can be down the middle.
I think that people
right,
are exaggerating.
But if you're down
Andy's
the middle,
point.
People will say you're negative. That's the way it works around
but
here.
But I don't think people say Mike Reese is negative.
I don't think Mike Reese has an opinion on anything. I think he's mostly fact, pure numbers.
I think he's down the middle.
No, he's not down
no,
the middle.
He doesn't have an opinion. He stays away
I
from
think,
analysis.
I
and opinion.
I think you're talking about different things. You're talking about guys that analyze, and you're comparing it
he
to guys.
He presents the facts so that you can have it.
Right,
opinion.
That's not an analysis.
No, it isn't.
No.
The job of a reporter is to take the facts right. and analyze.
See, I think all reporters do that. I think Mike is the best at it.
Right,
and that's why he's the most popular.
Right,
and
but you
but
don't have to
but
be negative.
But
no there one are, said you
there
had
are
to
no
be
reporters
negative.
That
you
are
just
negative.
Did.
No.
I believe in all news coverage, negative sells. I do.
I agree with that.
That's my observation.
But I think when it comes to sports in a hometown publication, I think
then
can,
Marcus Cannon should be the lead story every freaking week.
I think
because there's nothing more positive.
No. See now,
are you kidding
again,
me?
Now you're going to
wait a minute. Are you telling me that's not the most positive story?
Yeah, but
of
now
this
you're
team?
Taking it to the extreme again. I think you can do what Mike Reese does and be successful, and it's obvious.
Oh, I
you
don't.
Can. Well,
I
he's
don't.
Doing it.
He's doing it on a blog. If he did that every day in the newspaper, he wouldn't have a job.
He did it with the Globe.
No, he didn't. He covered it like everybody else.
Oh, my God.
He covered it just like Ian Rappaport
oh,
from the
God's
positive
sake.
Side of normal coverage.
I think you're looking at two totally different things, Fred. I think, first of all, I think everybody's exaggerating Andy's negative comment.
Right.
Saying that's all you're supposed to be looking for is negative stories because they sell. I don't think that's what Andy was saying.
Yeah, I didn't
but
say that.
You're not saying that.
No,
I never said that.
I think he said.
What are you saying?
He said,
true.
I am
that's
saying.
Like,
he
that.
Said
no,
negative. No, he
I
said
didn't.
Negative.
Yes,
so
I did.
No, I didn't.
Then, you did.
Okay,
did.
Play it back. Then.
If
play
you
it back.
Can, if you can
you
stop
have
it.
Access to the
if
podcast,
you can stop
go get
and
it.
Listen for a second. I think what his point was negative stories sell more than positive stories.
And that's fact.
And that is fact. That doesn't mean that you sit there and you ignore positive stories and only print negative ones.
Right.
But don't you think, though?
ESPN is the most negative sports entity that there is. They fixate on stories like right now with
right.
Tom Brady. It's the most powerful sports reporting entity that has ever been created.
Well,
nothing is more negative than ESPN. So don't tell me that Andy's point is wrong.
They sensationalize things.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily negative. They sensationalize things. Go ahead, Sam.
It's negative. It's a guy's injury. It's negative.
Go ahead, Sam.
Don't you think, though, that I guess part of the thought on a Patriots publication is that you're going to present you would present the positive side. Well, I'm not saying you don't.
Of course we do.
Have you ever read the paper? Because if you think we don't present the positive, you've never read the paper where literally we've written stories about all 53 men, and they end, you think, oh, my God, that guy's a Pro Bowl talent, and he's cut the next week. That's what we do.
Right. And I guess that it was just, I thought it was an interesting comment. The way he came across that day on the radio was, you know, the job of the media is to find the negative and report that.
I really want to know exactly what I said. I don't think I said.
I'm not going to tell you word for word what you said, but I think we were talking about these guys that cover the story. They only want to cover the positive stuff and they ignore the negative. Part of your job is to report the negative too.
Absolutely,
that's not your only job.
And you know, that's, you know, forget about just sports. Overall, in our society, one of the great pillars of a free society is the media. You got to have a free media that has the ability to write anything. You can't have Pravda, you know, because then we as people don't get to know. But with sports,
go putting us out of business now.
With sports, I lessen that because it is just sports, and
right.
who cares? And then when you get to the local sports, I think, you know, most people following the team, they want to hear the positive too, and that's why Mike Reese is successful, because he's right down the middle. He gives you a lot of information, and then you as a fan can make your own judgment.
I think that the guys that do what Mike Reese does all do it the way Mike Reese does.
He does it better.
They're right down the he's better at it, right. Yes. That's why he has carved out such a following, but I don't think that there are beat writers out there that are negative. The guys that just present the facts, I don't think they do so negatively. Don't confuse Ron Borges and Jerry Callahan and Dan Shaughnessy with Mike Reese and Ian Rappaport and Jeff Howell.
That's fair.
They're not the same.
That's true.
It's a totally different job. It's like comparing Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. They're both tight ends, but they both do totally different things.
And I think as fans, they do confuse that.
Oh, they always
do. You know, they lump Dan.
That's why everybody thinks everybody's negative.
They lump Dan Shaughnessy in with Mike Reese, and they're doing different jobs. They're doing different jobs.
Well, Shaughnessy's a douche. The other thing, I think in the end, that's also why a guy like Johnny Moose is so popular, that he was so one-sided. You
know, he was a nut.
He took up the fans' cause.
Yeah, and I love Johnny.
Mikey Adams.
Yeah, I was one of those people that turned down the TV. And
did you just
to
say you
Moose.
Like Mikey Adams?
I said he's like Mikey Adams.
Oh, but what do you think of Mike Adams?
I think he's entertaining, but I think
right. If Johnny Moose was doing what he did today, I think he'd be considered a joke, kind of like Jack Edwards is,
and kind of like.
But
Tommy Heinsohn.
Hold on,
Tommy Heinsohn has a lot of detractors.
Jack Edwards is good. Fans love Jack Edwards.
He's a clown. He's laughed at. He's like Gus Johnson,
you know,
on CBS.
He's laughed at by other media people.
No, he's not laughed at by other media
love
people.
Him. The fans.
The fans
love, him.
Love to make fun of him.
No, they
there's
don't.
A difference.
I'm telling you, they find him entertaining, and they say he adds value to watching the game. I know. No. My kid's a fan. He loves him.
Oh, okay.
I think he's
all right.
He's got one.
Hey, one
he's got one. His son.
Yep.
One other question for you guys is, and we've talked about this, you guys have talked about it over the air. When you look at the defense this year with McCourty struggling, and not that Jermaine Cunningham was ever. Breaking records, but is it? Don't you still view this 4-3 switch as a 1-year wonder? I mean, I know you guys started talking about the draft and who they might look for, and it just seems as though, you know, short season, bring in a couple of aging vets that can play that system, and it's easier.
Well, I think that it depends on who's available next year. I mean,
I don't see anything on this roster that would force me either way.
Yeah.
Other than Belichick. I mean, Belichick seems to be a clearly
no, no, no. I mean, personnel-wise, I don't see any personnel where I say he's good, but I can't use him if I go with 4-3 or 3-4. The only guys I really care about, Mayo, Will Fork, Kyle. I mean, they've all proven they can play in both, right? So
yeah, I guess, yeah,
Andre Carter. Andre Carter would be the biggest. His career is probably over. Yeah. He's a 30-something who tore his quad. You're certainly not making major schematic and team decisions based on. An old guy's reconstructed quad.
Right. And wouldn't you make that decision based on McCourty's lack of production this year versus production last year? Or
what does that have to do with the three front?
Has nothing to do with the front seven.
Well, it just seems as though the switch is, you know, and with the philosophy of being press versus zone and all that.
Yeah, but when they go into those
they've done both all year.
They're in sub packages over 60% of the time, and that's you throw out the 4-3-3-4 there.
It's also irrelevant to the coverage for the most part. Your front can do whatever you want.
Right. Right.
I mean, and I don't know whether you were insinuating that Cunningham is better suited for one or the other, but
it seems that way.
What?
I mean, when he was drafted, that was the thought, at least, right?
He was going to be converted to an outside linebacker
He was thought to be a 4-3 right. guy.
If anything,
not a 3-4 guy.
If anything, he should have done better this year.
The theory was maybe he'd be better this year, and he went in a hole and disappeared.
Right, because remember when we saw that Tampa Bay game in the preseason, we were like, oh, this is going to free up guys like Mayo and Cunningham
well,
to make
Cunningham,
plays.
Well, not Cunningham, because he never did anything.
But we speculated.
And I'm not making any decisions based on a guy who looks like he's going down the Darius Butler path of being the next second-round pick to be cut.
Right.
I think they are totally open, like Fred says. If they can sign... You know, I'm just going to throw a name. If they sign Julius Peppers,
right.
Okay, we're probably going to be a 4-3 front. We'll go get some regular outside linebackers in the Mayo mold, and we're good. We're going to move forward with that.
I do agree. Personnel isn't going to dictate it, like Andy said and like Fred said. But I kind of agree with Tim that I think that this is probably a temporary thing, and they'll go back to being a 3-4 team.
Bottom line is they don't have enough talent for either defense, so it's irrelevant.
We all know that they've been saying
so you
negative.
Said, you so negative.
Said, wait,
so
you,
negative.
Said, you said yesterday they don't have 11 starters on defense.
They don't.
But
thank you.
We're talking about next year. They might have 11 next year.
Next year.
Oh, the cap's not on this. You could have got wet.
All right, Tim.
Oh, all right, thanks.
Thanks for calling,
Tim.
Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
Your comment that they didn't have 11 starters
right.
yesterday,
right.
and you did say that.
Yes.
Is that negative?
Yes.
I thought it was Mike Reese factual.
I actually don't think it was. I think it's a fact.
It's a negative fact.
Now facts are positive.
Well, they can be fun. They can be fun facts.
See,
or
now,
they can be negative facts.
No. But now,
Derek may have just peed himself over here.
You've actually just proven my point. And, you know,
sounds like Newt Gingrich over here.
No, the numbers for the Patriots in the Belichick era are overwhelmingly positive.
It's just a fun fact.
You can look at records in venues.
Believe it or not, they're positive this year, too, but that's another story.
Yeah, just not defensively, as you said yesterday.
But overall, they're
positive. As you said yesterday, I'm using your words. First of all, they're
12-3. And second of all, 12 of that is positive, and 3 of that is negative. Right?
Okay.
Right. Losses are inherently negative.
But the point that I'm trying to make is, when you have the sustained success that they've had, and you just look at it from a numbers perspective, there's not a whole lot of negativity that you could put out there. So if you're just being the beat guy and presenting the facts, these are the facts. They won yesterday. They had X amount of first downs and X amount of catches. There are going to be a lot more numbers that are overwhelmingly positive than negative.
Right.
That's what Mike Reese does.
And when did Mike Reese work for the Boston Globe?
He did.
During the heart of that
right
dynasty.
He couldn't have been negative. They were winning back-to-back Super Bowls.
But there were guys who were. But not those guys.
That's what I'm saying.
I was about to say, Paul, but not the people who were doing what Mike Reese
like
does.
The people that say Ron Borges is negative, right. I agree with that.
Well,
I think he tends to look.
Bill Belichick.
I think he tends to make his analysis based on something that went wrong in the game
right.
as opposed to something that was right with the game. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
In other words, more often than not, he's focusing on the defense this season and not the offense that won the game.
You know,
but do you think that's just agenda or that's my belief? The defense is the fatal flaw. I can't get how bad the defense is out of my mind. So in my own mind, not even thinking of what I'm going to write, what I'm going to analyze, it overwhelmingly makes me feel, oh boy, it doesn't matter how good Brady is, this defense sucks. That is what I can't get out of my head. Right? And isn't there some of that to Ron Borges? When he sees a historically bad defense like this?
Yeah, but it's not just when he saw that.
I know.
But he also writes a lot of things about how great Brady is to overcome that.
Right. Well, his agenda is
he's
to
player,
show that
he's
it's
player
not
driven.
Belichick.
He's player-driven.
Right, exactly.
When you are with Ron Borges, you're with him to the end. You could murder somebody,
right.
and he's going to be defending you in a column the next day.
That's true.
But he's player-driven. Now, he would argue, I'm very positive because I'm telling you how great these players are that make these plays on offense that win the game.
He is kind of anti-coach.
I sort of think of it as you're doing that because you're trying to point out the fact that the coach failed
right.
in putting the proper personnel around it.
Right. Right.
You know, and having a balanced team. I think that based on, you know, what I know of Ronnie.
Right.
But
Ronnie.
He would argue that I'm not negative.
Yeah, see, I agree.
I think he is negative.
I agree with Paul when I think that fans are overly sensitive. I mean, for every guy that says something negative on ESPN, you can find another guy on ESPN that says something positive. You know, we focus on the Merrill Hodges and the Schlereth who you know have a background with a team that hates us.
But that's and also they, what know, ESPN focuses on. You don't think they track that when so and so says something, we get 8 million chat hits and people get worked up. And that's my point of negative
Pete
sales.
Prisco made a career out of it in this area.
Negative sales.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that's the way it is, but it's the way it is.
It's,
but it doesn't mean that people...
It's man bites dog. It's the whole thing. Right. That's the story.
But you can't extrapolate from that people say, I'm not going to write anything positive because negative sells. I don't think a lot of guys do that.
I don't either.
You know when you're writing this glowing story on a guy that it's probably not going to receive the same amount of attention as something that has a little bit of bite to it.
Right. But I think that there's a balance. I think that you need to be balanced and fair. And I think that's where teams get upset with writers is when they're not fair. You know, that's a key word. Forget about balance. It's being fair. You know, if the team really sucks all the time and you back it up with stats and, you know, that's being fair, even though it's all negative.
I'll give you another example. Another Boston Globe, I believe, Albert Breer was as positive as anyone 98% of the time. And then all of a sudden he wrote that Aaron Hernandez failed a couple drug tests and was off the draft board for some teams. And he was run out of town. That was like the lasting memory of him here in New England.
And that was considered not fair.
Even though he provided facts that happened to be negative after having provided for the tenure of his career here, Bill Belichick positive
but
information.
That's why I'm trying to say that it's not about, you know, being fair or analytical or having stats to back up your... It's a, in
positive,
this town,
negative.
I think the way Fred put it is perfect. We're overly sensitive.
I'm not.
No, I think we all are. I think we're overly sensitive to some of the criticism we get sometimes.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I think as a fan of the other teams that I don't cover in Boston, and I love all the Boston teams, I'm overly sensitive to some of those, especially when people like you say the Bruins weren't going to make the playoffs this year. I wanted to fight you.
And I was right for a week when they were, what was it, 3-7?
3-7, yeah. And they never lost.
They never lost.
When did you become this big Bruins fan?
I love all the Boston teams.
He jumped
teams,
on the bandwagon
Fred.
Last year with the rest of them, Fred.
Wait a minute.
Fan.
I've never been a guy who goes to a lot of games, so that's...
Unless it's low-level games.
The only season tickets I've ever had are to the Patriots.
And low-level.
But that doesn't mean I'm a bigger Patriots fan than anything else.
You have season tickets.
Oh, yeah. I still have season tickets to Northeastern. That's different.
Paul says most reporters do what their news directors want. They report spin. How they want you to see the story is not what it is. Is not what is. Truth is.
That's real news.
Truth is way down the list, and in some cases, doesn't matter at all.
He's right about that for real news.
You think so?
Oh,
yes.
God, yes.
See, I think
the Herald is conservative. The Globe is liberal. That's the way they've talked.
Fox News, CNN. You need to know
their
whole thing is.
Yeah, there's no such thing as pure objective journalism.
Except
but I think that. They try to look at angles, but I think the truth does matter. I don't think they want to be factually inaccurate.
No, but they fit the truth within the confines of their angle.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, have you seen those things on Fox? They'll do charts, like line graphs, and they don't make it I don't know the math term here, but they'll put two numbers, but the graph looks like it went down, even though the numbers say it was the same. Like, they slant the information in the chart and say, graph not to scale or something.
You have the facts, as you know, Fred. You can
statistics.
You could do anything you want with them. I mean, factually, you could sit there and say about the Patriots right now. Just continue to use the word worst defense in football. You have the facts on your side. I don't think you're telling the whole story. You're not saying they have the second best offense in football, which. Is it second or third?
I believe it's
whatever.
Second.
Okay, second best offense in football. But if you continue to hammer away and say, this is the worst defense in football, you have the facts. You're wrong. You're not telling me the whole
story.
You're
not being fair.
You're not being fair. You're not telling me the whole story.
Imbalance.
I also think some of it is almost assumed. Like, how many times do you need to tell people that the Patriots have one of the best quarterbacks in football? Do you need to write a story once a week that says, Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks in football? Everybody knows that. He has been for a decade.
That's what they want you to do. That's
what the teams haven't had for a decade is the worst defense in football.
That's what the teams want you to do. Now, Patriots fans would argue, we understand that we're 32nd in defense. You don't need to tell us every single week. You're banging us over the head with it.
It's new. You didn't use
it. It's not new now.
Well, it's new in terms of what's newer.
But
Tom Brady's great or the defense sucks?
I'm just trying to play.
The defense sucks is newer.
I'm trying to see it from all sides here. I don't want to
just why don't you chime in on this? You're
a homer.
He also bridges the gap between
journalist
and
fan.
And
I just pretend to write sometimes.
But
you're a fraud. What do you got?
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Because I wasn't really listening.
Wow, yeah, you write. Don't you write for Pats fans or? Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. They pay you?
No, I mean, it kind of depends on what we're talking about.
Just on his deathbed, he'll receive total consciousness.
No, it depends on just advertising stuff, but yeah, a little bit. But are we allowed to talk about what happened at practice?
No. Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Well,
wait,
people are tweeting about it now.
What? If it's on the Twitter.
Yeah. If it's out on Twitter, well, we can say.
Okay, what do you got from Twitter? Tell us who's reporting what.
Well, Brady is at practice, whether you.
Who's reporting that?
Well, I
mean, everybody?
Pretty much everybody, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
so Brady is at practice.
He is. Yeah. And
so Schefter's wrong.
I mean, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what he
said. I'm going to guess that he's going to be listed as limited. But
yeah, okay. We don't know what his participation
but that's, level is. But that's a far cry from will not practice, right?
Not necessarily.
No? Okay.
But, you know, Mankins and Vollmer were the only two players not, you know, practicing.
But today, we won't know that. Right. If to your point, later, we won't know that.
No. Limited. Then he practiced. Then Schefter's 100% wrong if it says limited because he practiced. That means he did suff.
On paper, it's going to say
and,
that.
You know, the league at
he
any
stretched.
Time they want can,
is what's going to happen.
Can audit
oh, I don't think
a
that
practice.
Counts.
They can
yes,
ask for the film of a
if
practice.
If you just stretch, I thought it was missed normal reps.
Yeah. But what do you think the teams do when there's no one watching?
Well, there are people watching. The league can ask for the videotape at any time.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I took it to believe if he was limited in his normal reps, and that means Tom Brady's normal reps are first offense quarterback, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, they could also get by with, he's not playing this week, so first offense quarterback is Brian Hoyer. So there's a lot of gray in there. But I don't believe stretching counts as you were limited in practice. If you don't take what would be your normal reps, right. I believe you didn't practice.
I agree.
I agree with you on surface. I don't think in practice that's the way that the NFL teams do it.
But if you're right in your theory that the NFL was involved here in some way, kind of.
Oh, I don't know that
what,
to be
what
the
are
case.
You doing in the, with
that
the
injury? That was a wild poly speculation.
No, I know, but assuming that is true, and then they come out today and say, well, he was limited in practice, he stretched. You don't think the NFL would ask for the tapes? Okay, now you effed with me on 2 days in a row. Send the tapes.
All right, let's quickly go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Craig's on it. Hey, Craig.
Hey guys, how's it going? Good show so far.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
It's going to be an everyday thing now?
No. This is the last call, right? You're going back to work next week, right?
In your dreams, pal.
You got fired?
No, just not going to stop calling.
Oh, okay.
You're way better than Tim anyway.
You made me feel bad there for a second. Now, is ESPN just going to continue to report that he's not at practice when everybody else is saying he's at practice?
Well, this is kind of a loop. Somebody needs to update the video.
You guys are killing me. What's going to end up happening is Brady's going to end up throwing some, Hoyer's going to get some reps, and ESPN will blow it all out of proportion.
Well, that's what they do. They'll have a little ticker.
The last part is fact. Right. No matter what happens, ESPN will blow it out of proportion. He'll be the toughest guy ever if he plays, the biggest wuss ever if he doesn't.
Controversy sells.
Right.
Well, I think Brady's probably tougher than a lot of people give him credit for.
Yes.
I mean, historically, the guy has played injured. The guy does what he needs to do, you know, to win the game. You know, he's just a really good player, and more importantly, he's a leader, which is something I wanted to ask you guys about. Back in our Super Bowl days, we had probably three or four dominant leaders in our locker room. Okay? So, like, on offense, it was Brady, Kevin Falk. On defense, primarily Brewski and Rodney Harrison. What kind of locker room they got in New England now?
That's a great question. It really is. Because I have been one who's never considered Tom Brady a great locker room leader. I've just never gotten the feeling he has that edge that puts you over the top in that area. Yeah. That's a great question.
He's a great on-field leader. There's a difference.
Who are the locker room leaders right now?
I think Carter was. I don't know if he's still around.
I think that's hard to do, too, is just swoop in and be a leader.
I think Matt Light's a pretty good leader.
What do you guys think about
Ocho probably Cinco? With his guys.
What do you guys think about Ocho Cinco? Sorry about that, Paul. As a leader, because I think
not
a leader. But do you guys think he's a good teammate? Because I get the feeling that a lot of people like.
I think he's a nice guy.
I think he's been a fine teammate.
I think he's been a good teammate.
Okay,
but I don't think he's a leader.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess you could draw the line.
A leader is being an a-hole once in a while.
That's true.
I don't think he'll ever do that.
I think Mayo's a good leader, but he's quiet. He's real quiet.
Yeah.
I think Patrick Chung has the ability to be a leader, but he just can't stay on the field. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But we've given reasons why some guys who are candidates may not be the leaders, and I'm just wondering, who's the leaders?
I don't think there are any vocal leaders in the locker room.
They don't have a ton. You know, Vince, I think, you know, at times, you know, plays that role well. I don't think they have those Rodney Brewski.
I think, well, Brady types. Is one of the leaders.
Yeah, I don't think he's a real good. I think he's more.
He's an on-field leader. Guy. I'm not sure he's a 7-day a week leader.
He's a really good on-field leader. And I think that during the week, I think he spends a lot of his time with preparation.
And this is what we've talked about in the past. They had a lot of guys that I think during the week were leaders in the past.
Vrabel,
Brewski, Harrison, McGinnis. I mean, there was a lot. You had a big core of the. And that's why everybody always said, you know, this guy can go into that locker room because they have a. They did. They had
think,
a strong locker room.
Kevin Falk
is a guy like that, but he's not in a role anymore.
He doesn't play, and he's wounded. He's wounded mentally right now. And I talked to him yesterday, and it popped up. I was asking about Ridley, and it popped up 3 or 4 times. This is a tough place to play. You never know what your role is. You got to be ready. It's hard not know. You know, he's in a role now that doesn't necessarily lend itself to being the leader.
I said this a couple days. I think this is a mentally tough team to play for.
Yeah, but.
Oh, I thought you meant mentally tough. I think it's a very mentally tough team.
Well, I think both are true.
I think
it's fascinating if they are truly mentally tough without any obvious leaders of mental toughness.
I think that your point, Freddie, is why Bill is constantly tinkering with the roster. I don't mean in an individual year. I mean, obviously, they've had a million transactions this season, but they're on a ton. I mean, remember we talked about how many guys have won a playoff game? It's only been since 07. It's not like, you know, we're Detroit and we haven't won a playoff game since the 90s.
Right.
You know, it was only been since 07. There's not a ton of guys that are still here.
Right.
And I think there's a reason for that, and it's your point. You know, it's a tough place to play, and he weeds the guys out that can't play here.
Let's see. Might as well go back. We're waiting for Eric. Where's Eric? We can't do the picks until he gets back.
Just another quick update off Twitter. Will Carroll, who goes by the Injury Expert online, works for a few different outlets, said the short version on Tom Brady, quit worrying.
Well, you know what? Over the course of the show,
I was worrying.
I'm starting to lean that they're going to list him as
nothing.
Fine. Yeah, I'm starting to lean that way.
I think that they may have gotten annoyed that Adam. I think Andy's scenario. You were asking about my NFL scenario. I think Andy's scenario is going to end up being true about Berman.
Oh.
And I think the Patriots are going to get annoyed, you know, found out about that and were annoyed.
So maybe we won't bow down to him next time he comes to the press conference?
Oh, no, they probably will.
Eric's here. He's all, wow, he's got his scarf on and his hat.
Can't hear you.
Chill out there. Matt,
now we can hear you.
Good?
Wow, yeah. Your big nose is red, Rudolph.
Yeah, it is. Because it's cold out there.
I'd like to say that's a new record that he made fun of you 10 seconds at, but it's not.
No, it's not. He's done it quicker than
it's
that.
It's snot. Get it? It's cold out. It's snot.
So earlier today, Adam Schefter said definitively on camera
and
that Tom Brady would not practice.
And I saw his tweet, and I retweeted and said, we'll find out for sure in about an hour. And we went out there, and there was Tom Brady.
Stretch.
And then all of the little sheep in the media.
Uh-oh.
Follow.
Wow.
Here's where Eric takes shots at everybody who's out there with.
Yeah. We're out there, and of course, everybody's favorite miniature reporter.
Mike Reese?
Wow.
No.
Can you imagine?
The crap report.
Oh, well, everybody's favorite miniature reporter is Mike Reese.
It's the crap sheet.
Okay.
I
was saying
like
that with sarcasm.
Oh, okay. So everybody's least liked miniature reporter.
What he does is he comes out to practice, as usual, and, you know, he helps call out some numbers, and then when we all come to an agreement on the attendance, he usually says, all right, I'm leaving, and he tweets because you can't tweet from practice. So we all saw that Brady was there, and everybody knowing that Schefter had made that report, was in a hurry to tweet it, so he says, all right, I'm leaving, I'm going to tweet Brady. And he leaves, and everybody else says, oh, I'm going to leave and tweet Brady too, and they run off the field.
You're the only one who stayed?
I'm the only one who stayed, along with, you know, B-Lo and some of the other cameras, luckily,
so you should F
to
with
see
him
throwing. And he was throwing rather gingerly, with his arm really close to his body, his left arm.
Yep. Any apparatus?
So he was
didn't
throwing.
Look like there was, and there might have been underneath, but it didn't. It wasn't
your
outwardly.
Out. He was throwing.
He was throwing.
Limited.
See, I don't.
Right. He threw in the,
limited, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
when
your
they
out.
Go in, the wide receivers get in, you know, in groups, and they just run down the field, and they lob the
I'm going
to
say that
he was
will
doing that, but he was throwing in a motion that was clearly unorthodox. He was holding his arm right close to his chest and throwing like this the whole time.
I'm going
to
do one of my favorite Paul Perilloisms. I'm going to make a definitive statement on something I have absolutely no way of ever proving.
For all your followers.
I will guarantee that when all the media was gone,
you did learn something at Arizona,
didn't do another thing today at practice.
Or here.
Could be.
Maybe you learned it here.
But and I have part, no way of being wrong.
The other part of the Shepherd report is he's going to play on Sunday.
Jeff went at the
game.
This doesn't sound like he's going to play on Sunday.
Conversations on the Sunday,
right? So this.
Well,
this
no.
Fact check it.
Why do you say that this doesn't sound like he's going to play on Sunday?
If he can't throw well on Thursday and doesn't practice, like Paul said,
but he'll throw. I think that's still up in the air.
Let's deal with Eric's side.
No,
of this.
I know.
Eric's side is fact. But he saw.
Schefter said he won't play on Sunday, right?
No,
no,
he said they
he
was
hoping
said he
play.
Will play on. He
they
said
were,
was
saying
it
was.
He said
it
was nothing that was going to.
Oh, okay.
Nothing that would prohibit him from playing
so he's
against.
He's going to be
Buffalo.
Wrong twice. He's going to practice Thursday and not play Sunday. One report, two wrongs.
He didn't say he would play on Sunday. He said it's nothing that would prohibit
somebody
him from playing.
Somebody said he should play on Sunday,
and that's what NFL.com is reporting.
That was Will Carroll.
No, that was Lockenfora.
Lockenfora.
NFL.com's top story right now is that Brady's shoulder is fine.
That's from Lockenfora, that tweet
right.
I read, an extension of that.
That his
it's
shoulder
fine.
Is fine.
Well, it's like the,
but
I mean,
it's not fine.
So this is
we know for a fact it's not fine.
It's not fine.
That's the part of it that you can sit here and say it's going to it won't prohibit him from playing a
right.
game that they have to play.
Won't require surgery, whatever, but it's not fine.
Right.
I saw with my own eyes that it's not fine.
And it's this is why everybody hates us.
Me?
The media.
Oh.
This is why.
Now us.
In a half an hour, you know, you run the gamut of information.
Well, because
it's not fine, and it's not life and death.
Right.
It's not the end of the world. What's the matter?
He's
over there?
What do you
want, monkey?
Well, no, you know, wow. As we're talking about it, I'm looking at ESPN, and the bottom line says that the X-ray was on Saturday, and that there was no X-ray, according to a report on Wednesday.
The X-ray was on Saturday. There was no X-ray.
Well, again, that may not be Tom Curran's fault because that
he wasn't
could be
clear.
The people taking his report.
Yeah, I think the X-ray
and Andy's
took place
the one
on
that
Saturday.
Knew. That he had an X-ray on Saturday.
X-nay.
We didn't write it.
Well, then don't say it.
Locker room.
It's reported right now that it's on Saturday. It's being reported.
Okay, is that okay? Okay. Does that mean it's out there so we could say we knew that
it's
already?
It's being reported, right?
Okay. Okay.
You just
all
read
right.
it
no,
on
he,
ESPN.
He swayed
said on the bottom line that
Tom Curran wrote it.
Okay. Right.
Tom Curran wrote it. It's been out there.
Because we had a scare yesterday. Paul Googled Tom Brady injured shoulder, and the first thing that popped up was
Andy Hart's Ask PFW. And I said,
uh-oh.
Well, we're doing good on the search engines.
Search engines.
Anything else, Eric?
It's freezing cold out there.
Yeah. And one idiot, and I'm going to call him an idiot because he acts like an idiot on Twitter, was in shorts.
According to Twitter.
Oh, that could be
Spikes.
Anybody.
That's rap sheep, for sure.
Brandon Spikes?
Oh, wasn't looking at his shorts. Didn't notice that.
That's surprising for you, Eric.
How do you see a man and not notice he's in
yeah,
shorts?
Yeah, that was a little defensive, Eric.
I didn't notice. Sorry.
Yeah.
That would be the answer, though.
Yeah.
Like, you make it sound like
yeah.
it's not out of the ordinary.
I would never look
that
at a man's legs.
But from far away, how do you even look so you can't...
Me thinks you protest too much.
No, I could see.
Oh, you had your nose in the air, didn't you? So when
yes.
you're looking down like that, you couldn't see his lower body.
I mean, he's been in here for 10 minutes, seven of which he's been telling us how cold it is outside, and there was a guy in shorts, and he didn't think it was newsworthy.
I didn't notice it. No, but what you should have done is tweeted after all those clowns left, fake tweets.
Okay, but here... Let's read into
Tom Brady that. Just broke his arm while
Brandon,
oh, you guys were busy tweeting.
Brandon Spikes had a knee injury, and he's in shorts and cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
I
good
see
sign.
Your point. I
That's
see your point.
It's a good sign. It's a good sign.
Or it's a sign that
he's not
know.
Trying to keep it warm.
No, but it's...
Well, I would ask if he had a knee brace on, but Eric didn't notice below the waist. He's gone so far to prove to me he doesn't like penises. He doesn't look at any men below the waist.
you
I need to prove nothing
you
to
you,
you
are certifiably insane. You are.
So really, I can't ask if
Not
he had
you.
An e-brace on, right?
I didn't notice.
Wow. Good thing we sent you out there.
We were a little preoccupied with more important players.
No, but the good news
you
is...
You just said you did attendance.
The good news
yes.
is it's cold and
we
he
look
had
for jersey
on.
Numbers, but they don't look down below.
How do you see a man and not tell what he's wearing?
But for all we know, Nate Solder had a dress on. He doesn't know.
I didn't notice.
Isn't it possible that he was like in
he a
big
jumper
group
on,
and you
right?
never really actually saw it? Like, I mean, I'm...
Then how do you know he was there?
But we look for jersey
number.
Numbers.
You see a jersey number and you
Kyle
check
Love
it off.
Had culottes on. I, you know.
I don't even know what that is.
That's
so.
That old, remember the culottes the girls used
he
to
gets
wear?
Mad when he uses a joke like that and never goes, what?
He always looks offended
it's
when,
from,
when I look at
the
what is that?
Well, Paul's the only one that would know.
Yeah, but I don't know anything from the 60s.
Coffee culottes?
We go back to the 40s with Paul.
I was too. It's like the guy I was
He's
reading.
He's interested in the flapper dresses.
I was reading one of
the
New York writers. One of the New York writers was making fun of a reporter. So we're not the only ones to do it, by the way. The guy, Tom Rock from Newsday.
Yes.
Did you read that about Eli Manning?
Yeah, it was Bob Glauber, you know.
Really? Oh.
Because Bob Glauber made fun of himself, too.
That was a bad question.
He asked him if he learned his
media
from
savvy
watching
from
his
watching
dad.
His dad.
And he goes, no, my dad retired when I was three.
I can't believe Bob Glauber would do
that. No, by the sounds of it, it sounds like Glauber just said, I'm an idiot, thanks.
But actually, well, I bet you, I wonder if they have a good relationship, because I think Tom Rock tweeted out something like, some idiot.
I'm sure it'd be like me and you saying, yeah, some idiot.
All right, we need to get to the picks.
I just assumed it was like
we got about 15 minutes, so we're going to have to kind of run through this. It's a full slate of games. There's no buys this week.
Everything's on Sunday, too, right, Fred?
Is it?
Wow, yeah, the old CBS. Yeah. Is that CBS?
Oh, yeah. That's really old school.
No Monday.
Look at that. A little effort. Da, 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 little effort. Da, 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 da. Right now, Andy's saying, I don't recognize
this
music.
No, I remember CBS.
I don't.
This is old CBS, though.
This is like Brent Musburger. Yeah.
You
Phyllis
are
George,
looking live.
Irv Cross.
Jane Kennedy.
Yeah, but I was going Phyllis George.
Phyllis George. I don't know who Jane Kennedy is.
She replaced Phyllis George.
She was hot.
I don't know who Phyllis George
she
is.
She married
around
for
that long.
She married Rashad, Ahmad Rashad.
I thought that
Jane
was
Kennedy. Oh, no, that was the Cosby girl.
That was Felicia Ayers Allen.
So who did Jane Kennedy?
I don't think
she
it
was married to somebody, right? Who did Jane Kennedy marry?
That's who Ahmad Rashad.
Felicia Ayers Allen?
Yes.
Yeah.
She became Felicia Rashad.
Who's Ayers Allen?
That was her name before.
Robert Ayers and Marcus Allen?
Oh, my God.
Love child?
All right, Paul, what happened last week?
That's why I love this show, man. Right there.
Did you talk about the time zones and all that?
Yeah,
the calendar and all that.
While
SportsCenter was doing brain injury, we led with that
to the calendar. And we turned out to be
right.
Aren't
you glad you showed up today, Derek?
Yeah, it's better than the Landon Cohen incident we had last year.
Not a Jew. But his name is...
He converted.
I won the week. Not surprising.
Whoa.
13-3.
You keep the stats. You're right. It's not surprising.
Andy...
Woo-hoo!
12-4.
Wow.
The Wilson Hart Power Index, 12-4.
Eric and Fred, 11-5.
Losers.
With the spread,
Andy.
I won the week.
Oh, crap.
10-6.
Oh. Andy.
Andy and Eric, 8-8. And Fred.
And Fred.
7-9.
Jeez.
So, real quick, I continue to lead the way. 161-79, followed by Fred, 158-82. Eric, 157-83. Andy, 153-87.
I'm coming, baby.
That's a little bit personal.
Yeah, we don't need to know that.
I am also leading with the spread, 120-113-7. Eric, 116-117-7. Fred, 115-118-7. And Andy, 112-121-7.
So I need to make up three games to beat Fred.
I'm okay.
Coming for you, bitch.
All right, well, let's get to these games.
Going to need a little help on Pittsburgh-Cleveland there, hi-ho.
We're starting with 1 o'clock games.
That's good.
And there are a lot of them.
Because they start the week.
Detroit at Green Bay. Big game.
Detroit.
Not really.
By 3.5.
Wow, this is a...
Detroit by 3.5?
Late season 1-4 matchup in the Wilson Hart Power Index.
And which is which?
Shut up. The number one ranked Green Bay Packers...
Fair question.
...will win. Thank you. No further questions.
No, there are further questions, because Green Bay is going to lay down this week. They've already secured their number one seed. Lions want to get a little momentum going into the playoffs. I think they're going to win and cover, Paul.
Wow. That's nice of him to include me. I now have a hashtag.
What kind of device you got there? Oh, you got a little Wi-Fi thing connected to your phone?
Why don't you tell him what that is? Read that to him. I'm famous.
No, it's a portable charger. No, Girardi was just on Twitter. Rappaport was on Twitter talking to Girardi, and he's like, you're so right. When a guy has an injured shoulder, you need a pass rush to see whether he's throwing well. And the hashtag was Andy Hart Voice.
Wow.
And we're now being pushed out of the studio as his ego is taking over the room.
Oh!
All right.
I don't get that.
Where's the
something? I don't really either. I just have a voice.
We have to move along.
Thank you.
Wow. I don't like this game. I don't like the fact that the Lions are favored by 3.5 in Lambeau. I don't like anything about
Adam Schefter. He always does that.
I'm going to take Green Bay. I'll take the points.
You can take him, Eric. He's a wee little guy.
We're
about the same height.
You
both can stand on boxes.
It's true.
Well, we don't need to if we're the same height.
Tennessee at Houston. Cooler, Tennessee at Houston. Focus. Tennessee at Houston.
Oh, yes.
Tennessee
by
three.
Like the teams
now.
Will be.
Yeah,
this
right.
Week.
Tennessee by three.
Who are they playing?
Houston.
Oh, I got to take the number 2 ranked Houston Texans because I have to.
It's the rule.
It's the rule. I know. Yeah, I'll take the Texans, too, because I think they're the better team, even with all the injuries and everything, and they're at home. So
plus, what's his name's back this week, right?
I saw that name
on the scroll. Wade Phillips. It's huge. It sucked without him.
Tennessee needs the game, and Houston doesn't, but Houston, I think, probably doesn't want to lose three in a row to head into the playoffs, so I will take Houston to pull the upset.
I'm going
to
go with Houston as well. Indianapolis at Jacksonville.
Jacksonville by 3.5. Boy, do I hate these Week 17 games.
I know.
I got to take the home Jags, the number 25 team, to beat the number 32 team.
I'm going to take the streaking, suddenly, Colts, because I just don't like the way the Jags have finished the season, and I like the fight that the Colts have put up, so I'll take them on the road.
I am with Eric. I like the way Indy is finishing the season. I'll take them.
I'll go with Jacksonville. The Jets at Miami. The Jets at Miami.
Miami by 2.
The New York Jets at Miami. I'll take the Jets because they are the higher-ranked team. They're 13th, but I'm not going to feel great about taking the Jets.
I will take them, too, and not feel great about it, but I think because they're fighting for something, I think they'll put the extra effort in, and I think they'll get it done on the road.
I'll take Miami. I think both teams stink, but I think the Jets are letting down because they know that they have very little hope.
I'm all on board with Miami this week. Teams that play well and fight a good fight against the Patriots normally win the next week. So I will go with Miami. Chicago, Chicago at Minnesota.
Ugly game again.
Minnesota by 1.
Chicago.
Talk about the anatomy of a lost season. For the
Bears. Have to go with Chicago. I'd like to go with Minnesota and my boy Jordan Todman potentially get some playing time signed off the Chargers practice squad.
I don't like this game at all, but I'll go with the Bears because I think they have a little bit more talent. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I'll go with Chicago too. No Adrian Peterson. I'll take Chicago.
Me too, Bears. Carolina at New Orleans. Carolina at New Orleans. They said that
New Orleans by 8.5.
New Orleans says they're going all out. They're going all out this game.
So well, that's why I'll take New Orleans.
Have they really said that?
Yeah.
Like in that phrase?
Yep.
That's insane after what happened to them last year. They're idiots. 8.5.
8.5? I'll take the Saints to win, Panthers to cover.
I will do the same. I will take the Panthers to win, but 8.5 is too many in a game I think that Drew Brees will be out of by halftime.
I am going to go with New Orleans all the way. All right, Washington at Philadelphia.
Washington. Philadelphia by 9.
Oof. I will take Philadelphia because they are about 5 spots higher in the power rankings. Sad as it is for them to say that they are only 5 spots higher than the Redskins.
Yeah, I'll take Philly, too. Again, I like the way they're finishing the season as opposed to what the Redskins are doing.
Yeah, I'll take the Eagles, too. I think this is for 8-8, and that's a... You know, one of those things, 7-9, 8-8. Yep. Nothing else to play for. I think they play hard.
Did you mention the index yesterday, the Wilson Hart Index? I don't think you went over it
on
yesterday.
On the show, right? I did not. On the blog.
Right.
I can go over it quickly now.
No, I just want to. You said Indy went up to number 2 on your index. Is that right?
Go F yourself.
I'll take Philadelphia.
That was very well done by Fred.
That was well set up. You reeled me in a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I was. Because I was. Definitely playing along. I was like, what is he talking about?
San Francisco at St. Louis.
San Francisco by 10.5.
Oh, boy.
Big number.
Yeah, but.
Big number.
It's a big point. I'd like that to be 9.5.
Well, sorry. No,
I will take the 49ers
to
win.
You
want to
buy the point, maybe you can talk.
A cookie? I got a cookie.
What, 2 boxes of cookies?
Yeah, I'll take San Francisco to win and cover. I think they just separated them out. I'm not sure there's actually more cookies, but there's a differentiation between
the
white
chocolate
cranberry and the regular chocolate chip.
Paul, I will take the 49ers and lay the points. I can't pick the Rams to do anything.
Niners need to win the game to solidify that.
It's been a while since you laid anything.
That first round bye. I think that they get a lead in this game, and I don't think the Rams will keep up.
Me too. San Francisco.
See, that's
all
an
the
occasion
way.
Where you don't need to play the
All right,
shot.
We'll skip over Flash. The Patriots game. We'll go to 4:15. There are no 4:05 games this week.
Really?
Interestingly
Why is
enough.
That?
I think the networks want to make sure that all the 1 o'clock games are over because there is ramifications on the 4:15.
You don't
games.
Want to have to leave a game and go
exactly.
to another game.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good call by you, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you. Seattle.
St. Louis wasn't in it. Then there will be ramifications.
Seattle at Arizona. That's why Eric succeeded at stand-up.
That's why he's working with us.
The next performance at Lambeau Field.
Oh!
No, again, Flash. You're not getting this.
Arizona by three.
Who are they playing?
Seattle. Oh, this is a tough matchup.
Are you having a bowel movement over there?
I think he's taking a dump. I think that's what he's doing.
On this radio program, I will take Seattle because they are one of the rare. They're ranked 11th in the Wilson-Hart Power Index, despite having been eliminated from the postseason. One of the few teams that don't fit in their half of the...
Little glitch in the system there.
No glitches. On the completely objective, no not subjective, Wilson-Hart
exactly.
Power Index.
Who did you take?
Based on the numbers. I'm going with Seattle. Pete Carroll. Win it.
I'm going with Seattle, too, because, I don't know, there's something about this team under Pete Carroll. They play a little motivated. They're psyched. They're pumped up. They're jazzed.
Well, yeah, plus, John Skelton continues to mirror Tim Tebow. He just won when he just won, and now they just lose together.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about taking Seattle on the road because they don't really play that well away from home. But I will
beat
take
up Chicago
the,
on the
I
road,
I think they're playing,
I know.
Everybody's beating Chicago. Seattle, I will take in this game.
I'm going to take Arizona. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Good analysis.
Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Atlanta by 12.
A lot of big spreads this week.
Hot
huh?
Atlanta, the choking Falcons. They're the number 10 ranked team, so I have to take them. Even though they're down two spots, they stink.
Well, okay.
What?
I didn't know if they were higher or lower than Tampa Bay.
Andy's leaning against the wall again. I got to get the spray out.
I don't know no, I really don't have much gas today. It's weird. How can I eat the same exact sub every show? And some days just blows right through me and it's gaseous, and other days I feel nice and soft.
Also has to do with what you ate this morning or the night before.
I always have a Well, this morning I had Frosted Flakes with fiber.
Okay.
I sprinkled a little, Gas X or whatever on top of the tuna fish. I had to prepare myself.
Has anyone ever used that stuff? Does it actually work?
I don't know. I was just using it
That's
for the joke.
That's why it took so long to get here.
Beano? I know they make Beano and Gas X.
The last thing you need is fiber. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I just bought it because it was cheap and I'm a cheapskate.
Where were we,
cheap, Paul?
Your pick.
Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Atlanta
Tampa
by 12.
Tampa Bay at Atlanta. I'll take Atlanta to win and cover because the Bucs are terrible.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to take Atlanta to win, but I think the Bucs cover.
Did you hear the comments from
Raheem?
Yeah, like, I don't know how you go from being Coach of the Year candidate to losing your job. Blah, blah. Like, I just thought it was weird to, like, reference yourself.
And he also said something about, I don't need to be taking any hang-in-there phone calls. Yeah.
I was right about him. No chance.
I would get rid of him.
Fraud coach and a fraud quarterback.
After those comments.
You can't live on a wing and a prayer like Freeman tried to.
I'm not sure Freeman is a fraud. I don't think he's as good as he was last year.
He had a little something going where he was fitting these throws in late to win. You can't live on that. Sooner or later, you just got to be good.
That's not a very talented team.
Or quarterback.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I don't
like to play the Indy Hut.
I certainly have more hope in Freeman
to
do something than Morris to do something.
Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Yes, that's true.
Baltimore by 2.5.
Tough one. Yeah. Baltimore, the number 6 ranked team against the number 12 ranked Bengals. So I'll go with the number 6 ranked team.
I'll go with the Ravens.
Why are you shaking your head at me? You loved this idea. You loved the Wilson-Hart Power Index. Now you mock it. It hurts. He's
yelling places you don't want to talk about at parties.
You were going to have T-shirts made up.
You want me on that line.
What do you got?
I will take the Ravens to win just because they've proven they can do it. Bengals have yet to make that next step. And with Andy Dalton, I don't know, this pressure situation.
What's the number, Paul?
The Red Rifle.
2.5.
This is more of an
anti-tennis, anti-Cincinnati pick.
Yeah.
It'll
be close.
Baltimore
it'll,
pick.
It'll be close. Less than 6.
I just don't like the way Baltimore's played against teams that they quote-unquote should beat away from home.
No, I'm with you, Paul. I agree with Paul.
Cincinnati wins. You taking Cincinnati too, Paul?
No, I took Baltimore.
Okay.
I said it was an anti-Cincinnati pick more than a pro-Baltimore
Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
Guy?
Pittsburgh giving up 7.
Pittsburgh wins and covers. Thanks.
With or without Roethlisberger, I think Pittsburgh will win this game. Browns are just not a good team. And they'll win by 10.
I will take Pittsburgh as well, although the spread worries me if Roethlisberger doesn't play, but I will lay the points.
I'll go the same way. Kansas City at Denver.
That's a 4 o'clock game, huh?
Yes,
Pittsburgh and Cleveland?
Well, 4:15, actually.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland?
Yes, 4:15. Kansas City at
who
Denver.
Who the hell made that decision?
NFL. Son of a bitch.
Pittsburgh
I
and Cleveland?
Huh?
Really?
Huh?
Is the best you could do? Who's this game? San Diego, Oakland? Kansas City, Denver?
Kansas City, Denver.
3.5, Denver. Oh, I'm glad it didn't go right. I'm glad it didn't go right through you.
Fred just sprayed that right in his face.
And he sprayed it on his cookie.
He hit my cookie.
What are you, an Andover?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What?
I have
only
to go,
Andy Hart can be ridiculously inappropriate.
By rule here, I have to go with the Denver Broncos, the 27th ranked team at home, to beat the 26th ranked Chiefs. Interestingly, I want to.
Denver is 27th. They're in the playoffs, and they're 27th.
And I'm proud of that, because they suck.
That one I will not they make fun suck. Of you about.
That's where they deserve
belong.
To be.
I will not
that
make,
is, I think that might be the best pick of the Wilson Hart Power
I will not
Index.
Make fun of your rankings for
As
that.
You would say, that's a crap bum team.
Yeah, I agree. I will not make fun of you for
but
that
But I have
one.
To pick them because of my rules of picking.
I'll pick them just because I still believe that they're going to find a way to get in. It's not going to be pretty, and the Chiefs have been atrocious at home. More often than not this year. So,
but they're not at home. It's in Denver.
That's a good point, Fred. Very good point, Fred.
I can't believe he actually said that's a good point instead of saying no.
What I always admit when I'm wrong, Paul. Ooh. It just doesn't happen very often.
What's the matter over there?
So I'll take the Broncos to win a cover.
What did you spray over here?
It's that orange mandarin thing.
It's the only thing that I found that can combat him.
It's like, true. No, it's
true.
It's
like washing your dog in tomato
I'm
juice when it's sprayed by a skunk.
Trust us, this smell is drastic better than the alternative.
Measures. There's an interesting aroma just kind of
I'll take Denver, too, but I think
it's
Kansas
a combination of orange and poo.
Well, it smells like Skittles. Yeah. I'm not really sure if that's a good or a bad thing.
I poop Skittles.
Marshawn Lynch.
Just so you know, you don't.
I'm torn on this game.
I am too, Freddie. I took Denver, but
I'm going to take Kansas City because
I think you're going to end up being right.
They want Romeo Crennel to be the coach.
Well, he might still be the coach even if they lose.
I know, but
how are you going against Tim Tebow? You love Tim Tebow.
I do love Tim Tebow, but I'm objective. San Diego at Oakland.
There are a lot of things. Objective's not one of them. Oakland by 3.
Fat, old, crazy.
Oakland by 3.
Yes.
Unable to complete a push-up contest.
Oh, no, he completed it.
Yeah, he stopped. He gave up.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Right now.
Who is it?
Please. Oakland by 3.
But who are they playing?
San Diego.
Why do you yell?
Because you don't listen.
Oakland. Where's San Diego?
Oh, God.
He's got to stick with his.
I have to go with the home team. Who's at home?
Oakland.
They're both tied for 19, so I'll go with Oakland. Oakland makes the postseason.
I will go with the...
Not according to your picks.
San Diego.
You picked Denver, right?
Superchargers. Just because they're such a weird team, this is a game that they'll win, and they'll win big, too.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, go ahead, Paul. Forget about Paul.
I'll take San Diego.
Paul's often
well.
Passed over.
Yes. For jobs.
That's true.
San Diego. And the Sunday night game, 8:20... Dallas at the Giants, although these games tend to kick off around 8:30. Dallas at the Giants.
Giants by 3.
The Dallas Cowboys, the only team in the top 10 that is yet to clinch a playoff berth, clinches a playoff berth here, right? They win?
Yeah. Whoever wins is in the playoffs. They're the NFC East champ, and that's going to be...
Wait a minute!
That is so fraudulent.
People have to know what we're talking about.
That is so fraudulent.
Paul, tell people what we're
it says now with Adam Schefter on the split screen, Tom Brady not expected to fully participate in practice today.
Yeah. Right.
Fraud. That is not what he reported an hour ago.
Right.
Fraud. How do you go on TV and say that?
Now, I don't know what he's saying. He might be saying, listen, I reported that he wasn't going to practice. Looks like I was wrong. He may have said that. And if that's what he said, I'll give him credit.
Now
for
I
it.
Hope they don't even list him as limited. I hope, I hope.
That's fraudulent. That's absolutely fraudulent.
Oh, that's so funny.
People just cannot say they were wrong.
Like
they can't.
Eric.
I just said I was wrong.
No, you didn't.
Giants by 3. What do you got? Giants,
I already
Dallas.
Picked the Cowboys.
Yeah, but that wasn't,
Maybe you should try
I
to
got
listen.
Lost.
Open your ears. Close
Eric,
your mouth.
Eric, did you already pick?
No, Giants will win the game.
Yep.
And win the NFC East.
I like the Giants as well.
I like the Giants as well. All right, so now we go back to 1 o'clock.
Going back.
Buffalo to 1 o'clock. At New England.
Pat Rotz by 11.5.
Oh, Lord.
I'll obviously take the Patriots.
Way too much.
They're the better football team. They're at home. Now, Brady's going to play. I don't see why they can't cover. Even if he leaves, he might get a nice lead and then run the ball with my guy Stephen Ridley. So I'm going to take him to cover. Blow the Bills out. Bills give up.
I don't think the Bills give up. I don't think Brady plays. And Patriots win but don't cover. Bills put up a fight.
Yeah, I don't know if Brady's going to play or not or how much, but I think the Patriots win big. I think Buffalo has given up, and they're not playing Tim Tebow regardless.
Patriots win, but I think Buffalo scores some backdoor points, and, you know, Patriots do not cover.
They are playing Brian Hoyer, so he could throw four picks. And
he's not Tim Tebow.
Wow.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening all week. Of course, the pregame social at 10:45.
Yes, indeed.
On Checkus website near you. And John Rook
what?
Is...
On Checkus what? And it'll be a good one, so I urge people to tune in because we have Brady, we have the offensive line, who's going to play, who's going to start, how much they're going to play. Lots will be
breaking. A lot of updates coming from the press
box.
Yes,
PFW Eric on Twitter will be keeping the PPGS hashtag rolling.
So John Rook is here for the playbook.
Paul will be rapping.
So he's coming in.
Maybe.
And then, of course, Pete Shepard with his own brand of Patriots Radio. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.